This is PFW in progress.
Census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, wait. Was he a great big fat person?
Paul Perillo.
Why don't you ask me about Buffalo Bill?
You should come here. You can do this damn radio show.
Buffalo Bill, what a naughty boy he is. Do you know why he's called Buffalo Bill? Please tell me.
Very excited to be a Dallas Cowboy.
And Andy. And Andy?
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Andy Hart.
Now it places the lotion in the basket. It places the lotion in the basket.
What the f*** lotion in the basket?
Some guy named Tom.
Oh, he's a monster. Pure psychopath. So rare to capture one alive. From a research point of view, our most prized asset.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Was she a large girl?
Yes.
Big for the hips? Romy? What else?
She had an object deliberately inserted into her throat.
PFW in progress.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. It certainly wasn't Silence of the Fans in Indianapolis with the big...
Well done, Fred.
You like that?
Yeah.
Little segment?
Breaking out an old PFW cover.
But there is some good hitting out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
Most of it coming from this Colts defense. We start the fourth. Jim Nance with Phil Sims. A second and 11 for New England. And Moss open on the slant. Down to the Colts 42.
And that, of course, is the audio gate that was all over the place yesterday.
Look at the smile on Fred's face.
As I suspected originally, it had nothing to do with the Colts pumping in sound. Otherwise, the first thing I did when I got back is I emailed BCN. And I said, do you guys have anything on there? And never heard back from them. So radio broadcast would have had the same thing. If it had been
right.
In the stadium.
Good call, Dukaroo! Well,
that's the thing that struck me is we were all there.
Right.
You know, there's four of us, and not one of us
not
heard anything
of
funny.
And it's open. We were sitting in the crowd,
it's an open press box. Yeah. I talked to a bunch of other guys, the guys from the Herald, the guys from the Globe. None of them heard anything.
Yeah. As much as
and
I
even
would
a bunch
loved...
of fans that wrote in, that I shouldn't say wrote in, that called in to... WEEI this morning, there was about four or five different guys that all wanted to be something, obviously,
right.
But they said they didn't hear
anything. I would love it to have been something, but it was just
flat out
not.
Cheating. If it is,
I don't
flat
think it
out
would have
cheating.
Been a good thing from any perspective if they had been cheating like that, because now you have the best rivalry in your sport marred by scandals on both sides, and people start saying, are the two best teams just the best cheaters? I don't think it would have been a good image issue for the NFL to have.
Oh, certainly not, but.
But
I
you were rooting for
it anyway.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Andy. But flat out cheating if they did. I don't want you to accuse me of not being consistent, Fred. I think that would be despicable if they were doing something to pump in the extra crowd noise. Goes against the rules. They should be reprimanded for it if they did it.
Speaking of despicable, we're going to talk about Bill.
We'll get to that.
In
we'll
a
get
little
to
bit.
That.
But I
want
to give out the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. It's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. We got a big 2 hours to talk about probably one of the biggest games, regular season games, to hit the league in a long time. I think it lived up to the billing. I mean, execution-wise, it wasn't that great. But as far as drama, intensity,
How did you put it? Great theater? Did
great
you write
theater.
It in your edit
theater.
Letter?
It was excellent. And so I was happy to be there and even more happy that the Patriots were able to come away with that win, because if they hadn't, I would not be a
that
happy
goes,
camper
I think,
right now.
That goes in a short list of their best regular season wins, I think.
Oh,
you know, put it right up there with some of the other regular season
against
wins.
Against one of the best
in the championship.
Opponents.
Yeah, on the road, down 10,
yeah.
10 minutes to go against a team that's every bit as good as you are.
Yeah, and with or without the crowd, fake crowd noise, it was deafeningly loud.
Right.
I mean, and Belichick was on the radio yesterday. I was listening to him, and he said that the coach-to-quarterback communication – you know, didn't work from the outset and they were going to hand singles throughout. Right. But he never said it was a technical problem.
He absolutely didn't say that.
Right.
It's
right.
being totally misreported. He said
he
that
said
he couldn't
use
hear
it. Here. Right, because right. they were just so – well, he didn't say – I think he left it up to
no,
the
No, I think
listener.
On well, –
I never said that.
I would like to read the transcript from Monday because obviously we're not here for those. But on EEI, I did hear him, and he said we couldn't hear it.
He said Bill couldn't hear it.
He said Tom could
right.
not hear
and
Josh.
And then everyone picked that up.
And everybody said that it wasn't working.
Right.
That's
right.
not the same
no,
thing.
No, it was just because – even you just couldn't hear, period.
Yeah, those fans are phenomenal.
It
that
was
is,
just too loud.
I mean, it was the same thing in the AFC Championship yep. game. Those fans are incredibly loud.
I mean, when
loud.
That game started out in the first play, they sacked Brady. I thought my eardrums were going to pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. That was one of the loudest ones of the day.
Yeah,
that,
it was
and,
loud,
that and the longer dive play.
And somehow it got louder. It was unbelievable. On the phone right now is Lucky. Lucky, how you doing?
Lucky. Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good, good.
What's up, Lucky?
Yeah, you enjoyed the game, huh?
Very,
oh, yeah.
very much. Very much so.
That's good. I literally felt sick to my stomach, man. I thought I was going to throw up. I didn't think we were going to pull it out. It was the first time I actually thought we might lose.
It was tough. I had my doubts.
Yeah, I thought we were done there.
The way the Colts defense was playing, you had to figure that.
Yeah,
they
really shocked me, man. Talk about fast. It looked like they got faster playing the pass. Like they really stepped up for the game. And man, I don't know.
Yeah,
I was sitting at home alone, man. But I felt like going to the bathroom and up chucking or something. I didn't know what to do.
Well, you need to get one of those, you know, medic alert things. So like, if you fall down, you can press the button. It automatically calls 911.
Oh, it's not Andy. I said freaking thanks for jinxing Tom, Mister. Oh, he's bound to throw a couple picks in the game. Let's find out what he does afterwards.
That's right.
Well, he won, so you're okay.
Well, Andy's been jinxing him all along with this whole 16-0 talk.
If I've been jinxing him, then I'm doing a terrible job.
Why is that a jinx?
No, I'm just talking about when I was there. You were like, he's bound to throw a couple picks.
Right. Well, I was right.
That's great, though, Tom. If you
well,
predict him
anyway, so I'm,
that's
I'm
right.
good.
If you predict
right.
him to lose, you don't give him any respect. If you predict him to win, you're trying to jinx him.
Well, 16-0 is more than just
I just think
now the whole world
whole
is on the bandwagon.
Yeah. All right,
evidently
Lucky.
It was one game that anybody was worried about, because that's it. That now true. Everybody thinks they're going undefeated.
Hey, tell Kyle his shirt is in the mail.
Okay, Kyle. Kyle.
We'll tell Kyle.
All right, yeah, because, you know, I felt kind of bad forgetting about him. I forgot he worked there.
That's all right.
So do we.
Well, Lucky, we're all glad right. you made it through the game.
Yeah, so am I.
All right.
Yeah, have a good one. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All okay, right, Lucky. That's Lucky calling in from Western Mass.
You know what I thought, you know, one of the big things in the end of the game, Fred, was the last two drives, how all of a sudden the Patriots' offensive line gave Brady all the time he needed. You know,
do you
he
think that's
really struggled
because the Colts didn't put the rush on that they were earlier.
No, I think they were trying to. I think that Mathis and Freeney were right. coming off the edges, but I think
it's
not like
they were sending blitzes early.
No,
it was
all four guys.
Battles.
It was all four guys, four man rush, and I thought that's what they tried to do. And all of a sudden, Light and Kazier in those last two possessions were much better than they were the first three plus quarters.
Any chance that those guys were a little tired?
Oh, I'm sure they were, but you know, wouldn't Light and Kazier
be tired from chasing
them? I'm just asking. You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a chance you're tired.
And I thought that Dungy did a good job of rotating, because there were some times, and I watched the game again yesterday, and they rotated a little bit more than I had remembered live, you know, giving them a little bit of a blow. And late in the game, I think they were tired. But, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't, you know, you can be tired, but you can't take the credit away from the Patriots' offensive line. They did the job when the game was on the line, and especially the one to Moss, if you watch it. Brady drops back and sets and just kind of steps up to buy himself a little extra time, and he had plenty of room to do that. And a lot of times you can't step into those throws, and that makes the difference.
Yep. Well, I've been saying all along that the interior, the guards and Copen have been doing a great job in allowing Brady to do that. You know, just they haven't been able to be bull rushed.
Well, I think
know?
The whole line up until this game had played very well.
Yeah, I would have given the line an absolute A+. For their first, you know, pre-buy work, with the exception of that first half, first three quarters or so, I thought Indy took it to them, especially on the edge.
Did you see the leg whip that Light tried to give Freeney?
That's, I mean,
whatever it takes.
You think he'll be fine for that? Because I think he should
might be.
Be.
He might be, yeah.
That's a pretty dirty play, if you ask me.
Happens all the time. He's laughing his butt off.
It's amazing. These
guys do that a lot.
You can't knock Fred off his...
No.
I don't think that
top of the world.
Stick their leg out and try to trip guys when they lose the battle.
Do you think they call penalties?
They don't get caught all the time either.
I think that's a pretty obvious.
That one's not. You're not getting away with that.
Right out in the open.
No, I think it gets called pretty much every time it happens.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that happens as often as you think it happens.
I think there's a lot of dirty stuff that happens.
Well, yeah.
Well, I agree with that.
But there's stuff that's not quite so blatant, like you getting beat off the edge and sticking your leg way out.
Yeah, that was very
blatant. A guy running free for the quarterback and all of a sudden falling on his face.
He got shot. Either there's a sniper or you tripped him.
That was very blatant. But, you know.
I have a question. Does anybody – what happened on the other light penalty? Because I still
I couldn't see it. He got
– On what?
After the interception – I had someone told me today that Boyd, did Matt Light earn those 30 yards of penalties? I don't know. I didn't see him do anything on the sideline. And on TV, you really could. It was just a maze of players.
Right. Somebody told me that he was on the ground being, like, stepped on, and he got up and
started wailing away on people.
Yeah.
He was on the ground being stepped on, and yet he got the 15-yard penalty.
Oh, no, he got up and started swinging.
Oh, and the Willie Andrews penalty, by the way, I did see that on TV.
He didn't let him back in.
He was blocking him.
Right.
Like every bit as hard as you could for several seconds out of bounds.
I saw that.
So a lot to talk about in this game.
Just another
Randy Moss.
Another great game.
That catch was unbelievable.
I think he's the MVP of the NFL. I know he won't win it. Brady's going to win it. Right. I'm not arguing that. But what he's done for this team, he's made them a very good team, and he's taken them to an unbeatable team.
Well, that's what I said a couple weeks ago on our TV show. I said, is actually Randy Moss the MVP of this team?
Well, I think Andy's going to write a thing. And
I think
coming
that's
up
how it's
going to He's the
play
team
out.
MVP.
Like, I don't know if anybody really gives out a team MVP like we do, but I think Brady is the league MVP because this is his team. He's been here forever. He's finally got the numbers, all that crap. But in terms of team MVP, most important player on this team, Randy Moss.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, how ironic would it be
Right.
that Brady finally puts up the MVP numbers and they give it to Moss?
I don't think that'll happen.
No, I don't think it will either, but funny. I'm just, you know, that's the story of it.
Maybe that's why last week when he said, name an unsung player who'll play a role in this game that no one's talking about, and he goes, Randy Moss. Oh, wait, he gets too much credit.
Maybe that's why.
Hey, okay, maybe. Yeah. But they don't win
crack
that,
in the foundation.
They don't win that game if Randy Moss isn't on the field. The Colts.
Well,
would
I don't
that.
Know about.
They
that.
Wouldn't win that
Did
game.
You see,
if
Mr.
Randy
would
Moss
have had to
win
something
whoa.
Else. Mr. Whoever's
they
open turned
the
into
game.
Where's 81? Where's 81? Where's 81? Six straight times.
I did think that was interesting. That on that drive, he threw the ball to him six times in a row, and they weren't all successful. It's not like he was completing them all.
Right.
The touchdown was third down. So that's a big play. It's not like it was first down. They just threw it to Moss. That was a third down play.
It's like saying if Marvin Harrison there, the Colts definitely would have won. You don't know.
I do.
You can speculate, but you know, there's a lot of things that could happen when one guy's in and another guy's not.
I actually think the Hugo loss was just as big because they were just
they.
Can I say that BS in word?
Listen, they had.
Where's that food?
I want to be fair to Indy here because I think we all we all talked about all the guys the Patriots were missing in the AFC Championship game and how close the game was. Well, I don't want to just ignore the fact that they were missing some quality players. They're missing four key starters in that game, and Andy's right. The left tackle got absolutely abused. Charlie Johnson, I think his name was.
Yeah.
He was terrible, and the Patriots really, really exploited that, especially late in the game when they couldn't run the ball anymore and it got one-dimensional. They were licking their chops.
But, I mean, you know, a few years ago when the Patriots played the Colts and, you know, the Patriots were decimated.
They didn't have guys either. The Colts players said that. They said,
But I'm just saying that you just don't know who's going to step up when there's an injury.
I'm not talking about
– Maybe Marvin Harrison comes in and plays worse than the guy that was
Fred,
there.
I don't think it was possible to play any worse than the Colts receivers played in that game, even Reggie Wayne. Dropping touchdowns. Gonzalez dropping touchdowns. I don't think you could play any worse.
Well, Fred,
you have
to admit, though, and I'm not making any excuses. The Patriots are the better team, and I thought they were the whole time. But you take Harrison out of that offense, that's a big deal. You know what I mean? He's a Patriot killer. He kills the Patriots.
And then Gonzalez got hurt.
Right.
Even though he's
down to Moorhead,
a rookie. He's down to Aaron Moorhead,
who
by the way,
caught.
Bill Polian's going to have him on waivers any second now.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit because you guys were
utterly
sitting,
embarrassed.
You guys were sitting in front of Bill Polian in the press box, and – you know, we've talked about him before, but he's This is ridiculous.
And listen, I know a thing or two about being a little nuts, and he does not put on any kind of act. That guy is a crazy maniac. According to him, there was a penalty on
every play.
Every play, the Patriots had a penalty.
He had something to say.
It was either a penalty or it was the Fred Kirsch, the play if the Colts ran should have gone for a touchdown.
Right. Now, TJ Rushing.
Spot the frickin'
TJ Rushing, as I said on Felger, that guy couldn't return a Christmas present. He's terrible. Huh? He's the worst return man I've ever seen. And according to Polian, on one play, it was Aaron Moorhead missed a block or TJ Rushing would have went 90 yards for 90 more yards for a touchdown.
Every play, I mean, Vrabel comes off the edge for a sack, and all of a sudden he slams the desk. Utech! You know, Ben Utech was the tight end evidently that was supposed to block
on him. I saw the replay,
but it was utterly embarrassing. I've never seen anything like it. I got to witness it for four full quarters. The only thing that was regrettable is that it was so
loud
that you couldn't hear everything. Right. It was like you would hear a word or two, and the three of us would get together. What do you think that meant?
Yeah.
And we'd all put it into context and come up with what he must have been saying.
I think the most comical thing is he doesn't even understand the game.
Right.
With the Colts there, before the Adai touchdown before the half,
they were
obviously trying to run the clock out and just get a first down. So Manning's taking his time, and then they run a play, and he's screaming from there, spot the ball!
He's yelling at the officials for not spotting the ball quickly enough. It was clear to anybody watching that Indy was just trying to get off the goal line, make sure they didn't have to punt it back to New England and go in 7-6. They obviously got the bonus with the missed tackles by the Patriots. But he is screaming at the officials, spot the ball. And then there's another play that they got down. I think it was the Kenton Keith run that got him down inside the five, and then Sanders ended up coming out of the pile. It's one of those plays that happens all the time where the guy's down for 20 minutes and then the defender takes the ball out of his hands and gets up like I recovered a fumble.
Right.
Well, the Colts are milling around, and it was a little bit of a delay. The officials were kind of talking to each other, and he's screaming, what, are you going to give him time to review it? You know, because the Colts do the no huddle, so he's screaming every single play. Fred, I've never seen anything like it.
The guy's a lunatic.
The guy should not be in the press.
I already hated the guy before the game, and now I have a newfound appreciation for how much I hate him.
Go do that somewhere else, but, you know.
They should see that and put him in a little booth by himself.
Well, that's the
he should not be allowed to do that.
Yeah, booth.
We got a call from on Felger's show from someone who said, how come he's not as hated as Belichick?
And he absolutely is.
But no, but I mean, like amongst – it's Belichick, you see him every day.
Time.
He does press conferences.
In NFL circles?
I'm talking about publicly. But if Polian spoke every day like Belichick did,
you could bet
damn well he would be just as hated because –
there was a camera on
he's not a likable
– thing about
that's
that,
the thing. If there was a camera to show his antics on Sunday, he would be. But when he speaks, he gives you the flowery things that you want to do. He eats it up.
Rodney Harrison. Apparently on game day, he turns into a psycho.
But don't you think if he spoke every day, he would start getting annoyed with some of the things and you'd start to see that temper come out more and more.
If he was the spokesman, he would be under different pressure. Right. But
no one sees it.
No, the guy's an embarrassment.
Let me tell you something,
worst
Fred.
He's good. He does a good job. Right. He's built teams to championship levels in multiple cities.
Three different places he's built a quality team.
He should have a little professional. It's amazing.
I'm not exaggerating when I say this, and I said this with Tom and Andy on Sunday. The guy is certifiably nuts.
Yep. Insane.
He's insane. There's no other way to describe his behavior. He is absolutely insane.
Which is why I no longer have any doubts about that whole throwing a guy, a Jets employee or whatever team it was.
No doubt about it.
Break his leg, Doug Flutie.
He probably pulled a gun on him.
No question. The guy should be stopped. He needs to be stopped.
In a padded room.
He should not be allowed in a working press box.
Right.
There are people there. There's some. I mean, he wasn't too far away from a lot of people. I mean, we try as hard as we can to be the objective guys, but there were a lot of Patriots employees like you and like Jim Hausman and some of the other guys that aren't necessarily there to be unbiased reporters. You're there as Patriots employees.
Right. We'll make a swing at it.
It's not fair for the COO or the CFO, whatever Jim is nowadays, to be sitting that close to Bill Polian screaming and yelling like that. That's not fair to Jim Hausman.
That's right. Well, you know, there was one time I did throw out an F-bomb, but I used the opportunity because the crowd was so loud that no one could hear me. When the Patriots had to overturn that early call on the sideline, the guy was obviously – his foot was out.
Yeah, we all thought that he was out of bounds live, too. Andy said it away.
I just yelled out as loud as I could, what the are they looking at? But the crowd was so loud that I don't think anyone heard
it.
What the fuck?
I've seen a couple of people, That was close. I thought he was out. Andy said it immediately. As soon as the guy caught it, Andy goes, they'll review that and overturn. I mean, it was instantaneous.
Yeah.
We all thought he was out of
bounds. The thing is, the ref was standing right there.
But
these refs were terrible. I don't care what you say.
I think they were. I think they were absolutely terrible.
We all
terrible.
Agree they were we terrible, agree. But just don't complain about it. That's how it is sometimes. There's bad refs in this league.
I just think there were some key calls that went against the Colts, too, that no one talks about. That's my only point. I mean, when they're down by 3 points at the end of the game and they get a first down over the middle for 20 yards and they get called back for a holding penalty, I don't hear anybody complaining about that.
Well, the guy was holding. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
For the sixth straight season, your New England Revolution has advanced to the Eastern Conference Championship game.
That is unbelievable.
Thursday, November 8th at 7:30 p.m., Gillette Stadium will be rocking when the Revs take the field versus the Chicago Fire. With a win, they're in and will advance to MLS Cup 2007. Call 1-877-GET-REVS for tickets to this pivotal match. With the U.S. Open Cup Championship under their belts, the Revs are shooting for the MLS Cup trophy and a another championship for New England. Tickets start at just $18 and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group and cheer on the Revs to the championship. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your Eastern Conference Championship ticks and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar. And the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, need to give a big shout-out to Chris in Bronx, New York, for today's meal. Thank you very much, Chris, and because you sent us the food, you get to have your email read. What a bargain.
Thanks, Chris.
Anyway, he says a few quick questions, and I figured I'd try to make it more fun by putting them into an over-under format. I'll even use half points to make Tom happy.
Yes.
All right, you ready? Over under for the next seven games only, and he doesn't have a number. Oh, okay. For these are the things for just the next seven games, not including anything else. TD passes for Brady 21.5.
Over.
What's he have now?
No, it doesn't matter.
Under.
No, I'm trying to get
32. 32.
33. Yes.
Oh, yes, 33. Oh, that's right. He got three.
I'm going to go under because I think it's going to be 54.
Okay.
I'm going to say under because that's more than three a game.
That's right.
I'll take the over.
At some point, that pace has to slow. Right.
TD catches for Randy Moss, 8.5.
Over.
In seven games?
Yeah.
Oh, TD catches.
I'll say over.
I'll take the over.
Okay. Team scoring over 21 points versus the Pats D, 2.5.
Under.
I'll take the under.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, under.
Interceptions for Samuel, 3.5.
Over.
Over.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, he'll probably get two in a game or something. Interceptions for Hellas Hobbs, 1.5.
Under.
Oh, by the
under.
Way, did you see the Patriots Today show from yesterday on Patriots.com?
No.
You
got
to see
or
this.
Ever.
He dressed up as Super Spider-Man for Halloween.
Oh, really?
For the kids.
If he had a web, maybe he could defend somebody.
Good? You got to love him. I mean,
I think he's a great.
You do have to love him as a guy.
I think he's a great guy.
And everything, but as a corner, he's
and
terrible.
And he's got a good-looking girlfriend.
Everything that Andy just said.
All right.
Fun-loving guy. Great guy to
Harry,
talk
did you
to.
See that?
A thoroughly enjoyable guy to talk to.
You got to put your mic on. I can't hear you.
I did see it, yes.
What, that was funny.
It's raining
right?
in there. Things are sticking.
Did you see when he, like, swiveled around the pole? It was very, very good. Games where Maroney rushes for 100-plus yards, 1.5.
I'll take the over.
Over. Games where Echol has over 5 rushes, 0.5.
Under.
I'll say over. Only has to do it once?
Yeah,
sure. I'm going to blow somebody out and give him a bunch of carries in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's why I'm going with the Samuel interceptions. I figure there's like 5 of their remaining 7 games are going to be blowouts.
If they sign another running back, is his job in jeopardy at all?
Well, yeah. His job's in jeopardy just because he's Kyle Echol. Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance, by the way, they sign another running back just for the reasons that we said, unless something happens to Maroney.
Receptions for Chad Jackson, 5.5.
Under.
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 Sacks for Mike Vrabel, 4.5.
Under.
Under.
I'll take the over, I guess.
Just to be fun?
Yeah. And finally, games with the final score within 14 points, 2.5.
Under.
Thanks a lot for all your hard work. I enjoy the webcast and look forward to seeing any game on TV I can get down here. Glad to have the bye week as a nice break, especially after the hype of last week. One last question. Are the Steelers that good or the Ravens that bad? Seem like a little of the former and a lot of the latter. What do you guys
it's
think about last night's Monday night game?
That was well phrased by him.
Okay. That's it?
Well, I think the Steelers are good. You guys know I think they have a chance to beat the Patriots. They are the only
team. I definitely think they have a chance because I think this has become an interesting weather-wise. The Patriots are now the team, and I laughed at people who said it would be better to play in the Dome, but the Patriots are now the team that are hoping for good weather.
Right.
If that's a rainy, snowy day, that favors the Steelers because of the passing attack, and that kind of evens things out a little bit. So I think you're right, Andy. They have a chance. I don't think they'll get it done, but it'll be an interesting game.
All right.
Obviously, the last
in
turtle.
Order to do it, they'll have to do some of what they did last night, and that's cause some mistakes. And if they can get some turnovers, get some short fields, and let Roethlisberger make the big plays, they can do it. But I don't think they're as good a team as Indianapolis.
Hey, you got to give props to Mike, the Colts fan in Tampa, because, you know, after that game, he's calling in. Mike, how you doing?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Mike.
I just called to congratulate y'all on
it was a great game. It was a great game.
It was an unbelievable game. How was it from your perspective?
It was a good game to watch. It was real intense. It was real intense, and I couldn't even holler after watching that. I couldn't even watch the Giants and the Cowboys and the Philly.
Yeah,
well, that was no contest.
I get like that too, though. I after a big game, I'm like emotionally drained, and I can't even concentrate on the next game.
Mike, can I ask you a question?
Yo, what's up?
It seemed to me that the Colts were having success running the stretch play to the outside. It looked like Adai was getting outside and making the one cut in. Then in the second half, to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like they ran it into the line a little bit more. Did you notice that?
Yeah, what happened, the Patriots adjusted. Hold on one second. The Patriots adjusted, and they took in when they adjusted, they started bringing Harrison up a lot harder, and they bringing a linebacker. So it was two guys on that stretch play. They couldn't get that done anymore. Especially when they started, they was ineffective throwing. They just started blitzing everybody to the line. They played a little different. It's no excuses. They started handing that offensive line their heads to them in that second half. That mainly came to it. And we can tackle anybody on the kickoffs and the punts. That was the main thing.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Those special teams are terrible, other than Vinatieri.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are.
All right, Mike. Well, we appreciate you calling in. Keep listening, even though the game's, you know, we won't have another game with you guys for a while, but I think we will.
We'll talk to you in January.
Yeah.
Give him credit, though, for calling
Absolutely.
In. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Give you double credit for calling in after a loss.
Yep.
And calling in with a legitimate call. A Patriots fan calling the Colts in the same situation would have, like, yelled something stupid.
Now, why
and hung
do you
up.
Have to do that? You paint such a broad brush, all
That's
Patriots
true.
Fans.
You know what?
There's Fred, a lot of so idiot right. Colts fans.
Andy, you do. You paint with a broad
why
brush.
Why are you so miserable all the time?
I'm usually the one
Shut
that
up.
Gets accused of that.
You know? I got emails from people at the Colts game that said that the Colts fans were horrendous. You know? But
I never liked him.
Yeah, they were like, they were not cheering at the game, but really mocking the Patriots.
Well, I'll say I didn't see any
fights.
I'm
never happy. I have no problem with them mocking him, as long as they're not swinging at him, making it, you know, as long as it's in good fun within
like
the realm of normal fandom.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the same thing.
They think that's tough. Don't go to Buffalo.
Don't go to Buffalo. Oh, don't
Buffalo.
Go to Pittsburgh. Don't go to Oakland.
Buffalo
you know.
Is awful. Buffalo
That's
is
by
absolutely
far the
awful.
Worst. By far the worst.
Hey, what do you think about the Patriots game getting knocked down to an 8-15?
I think it's crap.
Terrible.
I think it's a bunch of crap.
Well, there's a couple things.
Putting aside the personal reasons why we don't want to play at night, I just don't think it makes a lot of sense.
It doesn't.
No, Fred.
It's not going to keep viewers. It's going to be a blowout. People are going to go, oh, they're winning again.
Right.
Game over.
You know I'm Joe football fan. If I'm sitting at home in Albany, New York, and that game's on, I'm probably watching, what is it, on Sunday night? I'm probably watching Desperate Housewives, first of all, and just flipping over. That's not a game I have any interest in. It's kind of like the Tyson-Buster Douglas fight. If it's in the third quarter and I notice the Patriots have a cut under their eye, maybe I'm like, wow, this game's getting interesting.
Well,
but I have no interest.
It goes to show of what's going on in the league. You can't tell me that there's not a better game from a competition standpoint that week.
And the whole undefeated thing, it's only their 10th game. It's not like once they beat the Steelers, you're looking at the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Giants. Now you're saying we got a good shot here. So I could even see if they wanted to take one of those games and move it, because then I think you got the intrigue. And the other thing is they have the Patriots the next week against Philadelphia. So it's not like you're not getting them again for this season. You got them the next week.
Well, here's the thing. If the Patriots don't move out of another game, the Patriots now are at their maximum for primetime games.
Right. So they can't move again.
They cannot move again.
I'm wondering about Philadelphia.
That's right. The Steelers game cannot be moved because CBS has protected that as a 4:15 game. However, the Philadelphia game could be flexed out of that. So
let me ask you, why would you rather have the Bills game than the Eagles game?
Well, they can have both now.
No, but if you take that out.
I don't think they're going to. From what I heard, they
weren't
taking
the Eagles.
Well, the
thing is, they're thinking that the Eagles are on the way down. And
it makes sense to me because right now, Buffalo's a better team than Philadelphia.
That's right.
Plain, simple.
That's what I think they're thinking, too.
But no one thinks that. Joe Fan doesn't say, ooh, the Bills.
No, but the other thing is, more people would tune in for the Eagles?
Yeah. I think Donovan McNabb has star power.
I don't know.
I think Joe Fan goes, oh, Donovan McNabb. Joe Fan doesn't know who plays for the Bills or who cares.
I don't think a 3-6 team is going to get anybody. I think, like Tom, the way you explained it, I think is absolutely right. People will, you know, they'll check back every once in a while, and as you put it, if they see that the Patriots have a cut under their eye in the third quarter, maybe they'll watch. I don't think they'd watch any more. Matter of fact, I would argue I think they have a better chance to lose at Buffalo than they do at home.
Well, the thing to look at is what are the other games on that week of the Philadelphia game that NBC might want.
There are games
instead.
In both weeks. I don't remember the specific matches, but I did look at it. Andy tried to, but the Patriots media guy doesn't.
Well, obviously
the Cowboy
games being protected. I imagine this week the Cowboy Giant game.
I don't know.
Because that would, to me, would be a game.
That's
that you
a big
would,
game. Yeah.
So my guess is Fox has protected that one.
Yeah. I don't know.
But you can only protect a certain amount, right?
Right.
So that's why your whole idea about letting the fans in on that and the decision-making process,
I think
a good one.
Fascinating.
Plus, I already heard one of those cases of somebody getting screwed. Called a local radio station this morning saying he had a Winnebago and 6 tickets to the Bills game, and now he can't go because his 5 friends all have to work early Monday morning. They were planning to come back, so they're just going to dump the tickets.
That's the problem with the flex schedule idea in general.
Right.
So
fan takes it on the chin in the end.
So but we're in for a rough ride this last half of the season,
fellas. I can definitely see the Philadelphia game getting moved and them saying, let's roll the dice and then say, if we can get the Jets or Miami, whatever, what's the second of those two?
Miami, I think.
Roll the dice.
Miami's the 23rd.
Because the Giants are the last game.
Just because you're looking at it as, okay, they're 14-0 now. You know, let's roll the dice and see if we can put one of those
that's,
on.
That's the 23rd. That's Christmas. I don't want to
I know.
Move it.
Oh, I'm not.
No, they can't move that one.
Believe me, the last
thing
in the world.
Paul, I don't think they can move that one. That's not allowed to be
yes,
moved.
Yes, it is.
The 23rd before
yes,
Christmas?
Absolutely.
I thought that they couldn't
yes, it
move
can
that
be
one.
It absolutely can
last
be
year,
moved.
Last year they couldn't because
it
was Christmas Eve. Because
it was Christmas Eve last year.
So last year they didn't move any. That was just the way it was. This year they can. That's a killer for us.
Yeah, believe me, the price of success I would want.
I think our schedule's set.
That's it.
I think what it is now is how it's going to play out.
I think you're probably right, but I do think there's a
the
possibility.
The Jet game, I could you could kind of understand.
The Jet game, you can make the
argument
Dolphin
with game makes no sense.
Right.
They're absolutely horrendous.
Unless they're still undefeated. I mean, defeated, and, you know, that's
no intrigue for me. I really don't have
no,
any
I know.
Intrigue.
I know.
Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah.
I just don't think anyone cares about them being undefeated.
Right.
I think
now,
that's one of those things you check and go, oh, they won again this week, so they got a chance.
Like
all
I
right.
said, after the Steeler game, it was like the Colts a couple years ago. We all knew the Charger game was the last hurdle if they felt like going undefeated. If they beat the Chargers, they were cruising after that, but they didn't. So if they beat the Steelers, it's over. It all depends on whether or not the Patriots want to go undefeated after that.
All right, speaking of that, Stripper writes in, and I figured I'd get to his email now because it's kind of about what we're talking about. Don Shula had some comments today about the Patriots going undefeated. He thinks that they have a legitimate shot to do it, but...
Welcome aboard, Don.
...that it would be tainted because of the whole Spygate thing. You know, and he even mentioned Barry Bonds. There'd have to be an asterisk next to it. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's crazy.
I don't think there needs to be any asterisk next to it.
I don't either.
Do you think that...
I think it was...
Give me more proof.
We all thought
give
at the time it was much ado about nothing, right? So why are we going to change our minds now?
Right.
Well, do you think the perception out there, maybe not New England, but nationally, that if the Patriots have an undefeated season, win the Super Bowl, there'll be a taint to
no.
it?
I think people will try to stir it up, but I don't think the fans will really care. They'll always throw it at them because as an opposing fan, it's always something you have at your disposal.
I think it'll always be
take
a
shot
to this team.
But I think they'll look at it as, wow, that was a great frickin' team.
And I don't mean this team. I mean this team
no,
over
yeah.
the last
but
few
I,
years.
But I don't even think like fans with the venom really truly believe it.
No.
You know what I mean? They'll say, oh, you cheated to go undefeated.
Right. It's a joke.
They're not
it's
believing it.
Joke.
They're saying it because they want to say something bad about the Patriots.
And to have Don Shula do it, to me, it's blatantly obvious what he's trying to do. He's trying to
those
defend
those losers
his
are trying to hold on
team.
To that record for
yeah.
another year.
I mean, at that undefeated mark means an awful lot to them.
They've
and
grown
he's trying,
way
trying
too
to,
attached.
Well,
to
that,
God,
I look what,
it's,
did you
it's
hear what the tight end said. He said, you know, this isn't like I forgot what he said. If somebody has that out there, he was actually not like the other guys. He was realistic about it, saying, you know, it's going to happen again at some point.
Right.
If anyone has what the tight end for the 72 Dolphins said in that article.
I don't even
you,
know who the tight end for the 72
I
Dolphins
I had no
was.
Idea who it was either.
I don't
just remember
either.
He was the tight end. But
that's why he's outside the box with his quotes, so people know who he is.
No, he
cares.
Actually had a legitimate statement about it. You know, he said, oh, no, he doesn't like the fact that the whole crew of them are perceived as these champagne-popping...
losers.
Yeah, because he said that's not what the team was about, and he was kind of upset about that perception and said if they want to join the unbeaten club, then more power to them. They have a great team, and they have a great organization.
All right, just thought I'd bring that up. Anything else before I get to emails? Obviously, the Patriots, they do have open locker room today at 3, but this will be the last time they're going to be available this week with the bye coming up, so they have a much-earned... rest. And I'm sure the coaches will still be hard at work getting ready for Buffalo and doing what they call the self-scouting at this point in the season.
Yep.
Anything you want to add to that?
That could be a bit of an interesting game. Buffalo's playing like heck at
They
home.
Are playing well.
They're playing
they
hard.
They got a pretty good defense,
and like
you
said, they don't run up. He doesn't like to run it up on Dick Geron for some reason.
Right.
So, while I don't think Buffalo's going to win by any stretch of the imagination, that could be more like one of those Cleveland games where it's actually a little bit interesting.
By the way, I need to know... Everyone here going to Billy Ogden's? I got to call him today. Give him a number.
I'm in.
You're in. Good. Why is there even a question in your mind?
That's good stuff, Andy.
I'll be honest with you. Can't even remember what I had last year. That's how
landmark
you
loved it. You were raving about it. I don't remember
I'll
what
go.
I had.
We're all
I don't even remember what I had except for the peppers.
I'm begging Andy to have the peppers.
No.
Oh, no. No.
I can't control my bowels as it
I
is.
Think
Paul
came.
You're out.
No, Paul
you're
came.
Not going.
He said he was going this year.
Are you going, Paul?
Well, went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
You guys all going?
I'm going.
Yeah. If everybody's going, I'll go. I don't want to be by
myself. I can't have another candlelight dinner with Paul.
All right. I'm assuming the leg will go. Gary, are you going to Buffalo this year?
Well, the leg's going to once we tell the leg how much it is, I don't know about that.
All right.
You might have a feature to work on.
And I figure B-Lo will probably
hopefully not
come with us.
I hope not.
Wow.
Unless Matt Smith's going, then I'll go out with Matt Smith.
Hopefully.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I got a call, though, because, you know, you can't get in that place.
I thought you were tight with
the other
woman
good thing
the
about
door.
Going there.
They don't have a table. They don't have a table.
BCN has a table, like, near us, and you can just see the lunacy that goes on over there.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, babe. Hang around
they
for
really,
a little
They really drink it up there, don't they, Fred?
Oh, yeah.
Those guys really go at it.
They're old school, you know.
Drinking, shooting.
Three before dinner, five with, and then cordials afterwards, you know.
Cordials.
All right. Let's get to the emails. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. I know I'm missing something that I wanted to bring up, but I can't remember what it is. Anyway, I'll think of it. And we'll think of more things about the game that we need to talk about as we get to these emails. Dan in Delaware's first. He says, the D was asleep during the first half. No tackling, no wrapping up. They did come back in the second. The officiating was bad. I don't mind a bad call or two, especially when it's evenly bad, but it seemed to me the refs were the Colts' 12th man. Hear. We, the Pats, tried to play slow-down clock management, ground attack most of the game. A good strategy, I guess, but it's not what the O-line is built for. I think we should have let the O be what it is, but who am I to question Belichick? These are his thoughts, by the way. They were missing Harrison, but we were missing Moss a lot of the game. At least Moss came back when it was important.
When were we
I'd rather
Moss?
Have Moss on a bad day than what we had last year.
Moss wasn't missing.
I don't know
the difference between not playing and not catching a lot
of
passes.
He played all. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember him. Dante Stallworth.
I mean, they took him out, but
play
that's
a lot
not,
early.
You know,
they had Gaffney.
He
in for
played
Stallworth.
The most offensive snaps of any player on the any skill position player on the Patriots.
The Pats,
according to Mike Reese's blog,
the Pats played pissed off in the second half. It was good to see. The D let them down in the first half, and during the Dallas game, it shows why going undefeated is so hard in the NFL. It's hard to stay pumped up every game when you always win.
But they won't always be playing
the
Colts.
I'm just going to say, I don't think that any of this had anything to do with the Patriots. The Colts played well.
I've been telling
spurts.
You guys since week one that their defense is really good.
Who?
You! And you laughed at me.
Who what? Oh, there's no question that defense is better than I thought.
Yeah.
No question. But I admitted that last week when we were leading up to the game.
Well, right,
so
they
have
come
more
around
playmakers.
Last week.
They
saw
have
the
more playmakers.
You saw the Jacksonville game.
Yes,
that
they're better than I thought they were, and I can only imagine how good they would have been if they had two of their three starting linebackers.
I think there was two teams that were playing very well in spurts, and when they weren't playing well, it wasn't necessarily because of bad execution. It was because the other team was making them look bad.
Well, I do think
now,
the
it was
defense
a little
struggled
sloppy.
In the new scheme
oh,
early.
Absolutely.
When on some plays I saw Dallas Clark running downfield to block, and Rodney Harrison ran with him thinking it was a pass play, and they'd get 7 yards right up Rodney's butt because he wasn't looking at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Mike Vrabel was trying to get outside and set the edge and overrunning
had,
a lot
had
of
a
plays.
Tough time. Yes.
I think those guys in this new scheme struggled. I think they played a lot better against the run in the second half when they got used to the scheme, the position, the Colts, everything they were trying to do. So I do think there was some of the Patriots not playing well in the new-look defense
now,
early.
Now, let's talk about that, because that was something that Tony Dungy said after the game they weren't really prepared for, you know, this four-man front that the Patriots came out with. What did you think about that, first of all? Do you think it was the right strategy? And two, do you think we've seen the last of it? Or do you think that this is something that they might be doing again?
No.
You know, to try to again? now that Seymour's
Colts,
healthy,
yeah. Ever again,
well,
maybe.
Well,
but
now
no.
that Seymour's healthy, to get him and Jarvis Green on the field at the same time.
But I think they run a 3-4 defense.
If you wanted to
time.
Get,
I think that's what Bill likes.
But even if you wanted to get Jarvis Green on the field, you'd be having four defensive linemen on the field.
Right.
They rarely had four defensive linemen on the field.
They didn't really do.
They
that
had
a
four man front with a linebacker in a down end position.
They started off with four defensive linemen with Green outside and Seymour inside, but for the most part it was three defensive linemen by name and
then
a linebacker.
Take a linebacker.
So,
yeah,
and even
yeah.
Bill
Kicks
said
up.
And even Bill said that we used a lot of linebacker. I had that was one of the quotes that I had in the lead note. We used a lot of linebacker as the fourth down lineman.
They bumped everybody up a spot so that you had a linebacker playing defensive line, and then you had Rodney, who was an extra defensive back, technically playing linebacker a lot at the line of scrimmage and on Clark.
Yeah,
so.
I agree with Andy's assessment, though. I thought it struggled early, and it took them time. And I talked to a lot of the players about it, and they said there was some adjustment to get into the thing. And I thought they played, obviously, much better in the second half. But my point is just that it's easy to sit there and say, well, they didn't play well. But the other team has something to do with that. And when you have
they get paid, too.
When you have two evenly matched teams, this is why I don't think, you know, like the whole it's hard to go undefeated. That's the only team I think that was capable of making them look like that for even as long as they did.
Dan's final. He says, P.S., you guys have been trying to clean up the show. Stop it. If I want to listen to a bunch of produced crap and scripted laughs, I'll listen to ESPN. Your listeners on the web are there for the edge. I suggest you give Tom a few candy bars before every show. He's more fun on a sugar high. As a fellow diabetic, I can spot the sugar rant.
Jeez, diabetics are coming out of the woodwork
and
now.
And Shannon Sharp is a – I can't say it. I think he has –
That's a first.
I think he has picked up against the Pats – picked against the Pats every week. Okay, let me get back to the Cowboys and Eagles. Man, I hate the Eagles. All right.
Who was that?
That was Dan from Delaware.
The diabetics, they come
– they're all over.
They rally to you. Yeah.
Dave and the Peens.
But I would really wonder if what the show sounds like if we weren't trying to clean it up. When do we try to clean the show
up? Well, we go in five-minute phases.
On the phone right now is Craig from South Carolina. Craig, how you doing?
Hiya, bitches.
Craig, everything you said was right about this
about
game.
What?
I'm sure he's
about the
to,
game.
I'm sure he's gonna. You don't have to step on his line, Fred.
No, it was you were right on.
Wasn't listening.
Well, you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
I didn't think
I told you
were right
you
at
stepped
all.
On his line.
So what's up, Craig?
Well, I just think, you know, Belichick harping on these guys all season long about the red zone defense finally paid off. Anytime you can keep Manning and company to 6 points and three trips to the end zone, you know, you're doing great. Of course, one of those they got on just a horrible pass interference call. I mean, it wasn't just Rodney's, but also Hobbs got called on one.
Right.
He never even made contact with the guy.
You're right.
No, the Hobbs one was terrible. Terrible call.
We didn't just overcome, you know, a 10-point deficit to the, you know, the Super Bowl champions. You know, we overcame the Zebras as well.
You're right.
I mean, I was just ecstatic. I mean, these guys are so resilient and poised, it doesn't make sense. I wanted to ask you guys a specific question. We put a lot more pressure on those guys in the fourth quarter and really pounded and hammered Manning. I mean, he got jacked up a number of times, fumbled twice. Do you think that was a product of, you know, our big defensive line, you know, and our linebackers, you know, finally getting to him? Or do you think that faster offensive line just wore down? Or did we change a scheme? What was the deal?
Well, according to the guys I talked to, they thought they had a big advantage when they were able to go after the quarterback, not worrying about the run. And
right.
Basically, especially on the last drive, that was absolutely the case. But even the drive before that, they knew they were going to have to stop the run on one play, and now they have to get first down, so you know what's coming. And that's what, you know, as Colvin put it, you know, you can just sit there and pin your ears back and go after them without fear of them beating you. They actually, and Rosie actually said it, he goes, if they want to run in that situation, let them. We're all
right.
For it. So I think that was the biggest. They finally got him one-dimensional.
And
right.
He was matched up against a guy who couldn't play.
Well, a third-string tackle.
That's Craig. Thank you for the call, Craig. Tom, you were looking for that quote from the Miami tight end.
We got it?
Yeah, we got it.
What's the guy's name, first of all?
Stripper sends it in. Our
that
good friend Stripper.
Is unbelievable.
The guy's name is
solid.
Jim Mandich.
He's like
I know Jim Mandich.
He's like a human Google machine.
He does work in computers. He's good with the fingers.
Stripper says tight end on the Dolphins team and now an analyst on the radio broadcast resents how that team has been portrayed. Quote, you guys put forth the myth that we are pathetic losers down here clicking champagne glasses and clinging desperately to a record set 35 years ago, Mandich said yesterday. Somehow we've been portrayed as being evil. We don't ever blow our own horn. It's a great record, but the record doesn't get beaten. The Patriots have assembled a powerhouse of a team. They are a classy bunch of guys and play ball the right way. If they want to join the unbeaten club, come on board. So that's what Jim Mandich says.
It's what they should be saying. The old records are made to be broken theory.
Okay. Right. Got a lot of emails
here. The only thing I don't know about that, man, is he saying that you guys are portraying us, meaning the media?
I don't know.
Or is he complaining about the other Dolphins? Because I think the guys who make them look embarrassing are themselves.
Yeah. Are the guys that look embarrassing.
It's the Larry Zonkas, the Jim Kicks, the Don Shulas, the Nick Bonacanis, the Eugene Mercury Morris, you know, those guys are the ones that are always sitting
His
there.
His name is Eugene?
Yeah. They're sitting there, you know, with the champagne poised to be popped open at any second. I think they perpetuate the myth.
Yeah, but
not so much the media.
I do agree with them, though. The record can't be broken. I mean, they'll win more games, obviously, the Patriots, but they'll always be undefeated.
Right.
So it's not like someone can overtake that.
All right, there's a Pats fan in Kentucky here. He says, one, there were four horrid calls by the refs that could have changed this game. Three have been talked about a lot, the Samuel Hobbs and Moss pass interferences, so I won't belabor them. However, equally damaging was the horrible ball spot at the end of the first half that allowed the Colts the time to score that ugly and improbable TD with 13 seconds left. Not only did the replay show that a dive was at least a yard short of the first down, you could see that the side judge coming in to mark the ball was a good half yard inside the yellow first down line. I remember screaming at the TV that it was a lousy spot to begin with. I was shocked when they came back from the TV timeout and the Colts had the first down. At first, I thought they must have missed the third down play, but then I noticed no time had come off the clock. If the ball had been spotted properly, the Colts would have probably run the ball to get the first down, and even if they had gotten it, they may not have had enough time to try the pass play that led to the TD. Those four indefensible calls that directly led to 13 Colt points and very well could have cost the Pats one of their critical two TDs at the end of the game. That might have been a 20-point swing if the Pats hadn't been able to get a TD first and a goal from the 15. TD first and goal from the 15. Now, the only reason I mentioned this is not once on ESPN, Fox, or the NFL Network has anyone of their commentators mentioned the possible consequences of these calls and or the effect they had on the game, which was considerable. I find that unbelievable.
Well, the spot thing, I remember turning to Paul and saying that was a first down. Because looking down, it looked like it was short. Then when I looked up, they were on commercial already on TV. So we had never really seen the – but looking live, I said to Paul, I saw him moving the chains. I said, that was a first down. He said, yeah, it must be. And so we didn't really get a good – we had a bad – we were
well, that was on the other end of the field, and we were on about the 20 or the 15 at the total opposite
end
of the
field. And we had a bad look at the TV because we were in the front row, and the TV was, like, behind us to the –
and watching,
it was a tough thing. You couldn't really see it that
And watching
well.
The game yesterday on TV, the yellow line, they didn't make the yellow line. Now, the yellow line's not –
Now,
the
that's
first
the
down.
Only thing you got to put. Yeah, was that the first down marker?
So I don't know if they spotted the ball, but I think it's a bit of a stretch to say they would have stopped him on second and one, so that means they would have stopped him on third and one, and they got 7 points they wouldn't have gotten. You know, they had timeouts left.
Right.
So I don't really see that. The Samuel pass interference call was absolutely the right call. Absolutely.
Yeah,
unequivocally.
I agree.
He tackled him when the ball was coming down. Tackled him. Grabbed his arm and shoulder and tackled him.
Fred, your perspective?
He had his arm.
The Ellis Hobbs penalty, atrocious.
Yeah, terrible.
Absolutely terrible call.
Let's see. We were wondering what happened on that Matt Light penalty. According to John, he says Matt Light was on AAF this morning, WAAF.
Okay.
And he said that after Beckett was driven out, he saw his teammate Mankins get a helmet spear in the back. He ran to the sideline and took out the guy who speared Mankins, landing at the feet of the Colts who started kicking him. So he held on to one leg until the refs broke it all up. I believe him. I do. I know you guys don't think anything the Patriots...
Fred, actually, I believe him, but that's generally when... the guy who's the guy that gets penalties in those? The retaliator.
The second guy, yeah.
I believe his story.
But
he's
righteous.
But if the story played out like he said even, I think both teams would have got a penalty, not for the first spearing on Mankins, but for the guys that were supposedly stomping Matt Light on the field.
Well, that was the part that made me laugh.
Mark with a C from New Hampshire, he's wondering what is going to happen when we play the Giants. I think Fred might know this. He knows almost as much as Tom. If we don't have the NFL Network, are we going to have to find someone who has it to watch, or will they broadcast it on ABC, which they did before a preseason game? Also, do you think the Patriots' offensive line has superior conditioning compared to the defensive line of the Colts?
Well, not in New Hampshire, right?
No, they don't condition in. They condition down here.
Do they have WCVB in New Hampshire?
Southern can get it. Depends on where you are in New Hampshire.
I think that's the determining factor.
Yeah.
You need to have WCVB Channel 5. Well,
yeah.
That's where the game
right.
will be.
Right.
Not
right.
on ABC. It'll
right.
be on WCVB. Right.
If you have the Boston affiliate to ABC, which is WCVB, you'll be able to watch it on that station. If you don't, you're going to have to watch it on the NFL Network.
And I said to Andy, this could be a big coup for the NFL Network, because you may have one team playing for a division title in the Giants and another team trying to go undefeated. And now there's your argument for, I said they should make the commercial, you never know what's going to happen.
Actually, you know, check that. It's not necessarily ABC.
No, it's the affiliate.
Yeah, so it'd be
WCVB.
No, that's Channel 7.
Channel 5. That's where the game goes.
No. Only when it's a night, because
No. ESPN games have been on WCVB.
But this isn't. Right. I thought this was NFL Network.
I know,
it is.
But
Mark in New Hampshire is absolutely right. When they had the preseason NFL Network, it was on WCVB Channel 5.
But I thought it was the local AFC affiliate, so it would be on WBC.
Oh, that's Channel 4, yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? You could be right, because the preseason games are local WCVB, so you could be right.
I think, anyway, you need a Boston affiliate.
But you need that's going to not
change. Chances are, if he was able to see it on Channel 5 for
in the preseason, he'd
be able
to see it now
as well. So
this is what I would do. Can you get the NFL Network? Because if you can, get it for a month, pay $10.
It's very cheap.
Watch the game. I mean, if
be
the
like
Patriots
Tom and watch all the Mountain West
but even if you
college football
but
games
even if
on
you
Saturday
don't want
afternoon.
That and you want to watch your favorite team possibly go undefeated, isn't that worth $10?
Right.
So get it for a month, then cancel it.
Or if you're not Paul, you can go to a sports bar and watch it at a sports bar.
You don't
want to
watch it. You're going undefeated.
Have
I'm
a celebration.
Paul. You're sitting at home for that one, baby.
See, why I have one guy who has my back, you know, sometimes, when he's not ripping me.
Brian says, I think Light was a goalie in his youth. That was one of the best kick saves I've seen in a long time. Yeah. Come on, he was going left, and he was able to get his leg out to the right. An outstanding athletic move.
Athletic move.
It was, you know, very good.
Very good. $15,000.
You think you'll get fined that much? $7,500.
Whatever the most is.
I'll give you 10.
The most?
What are you guys negotiating?
What's the most
final?
That you can get for a hit?
10? 15,
but
I think.
They're doling out $7,500 for quarterback hits, so.
I just think that was much different than, like, Vince Wilfork's hit on the low hit.
There's no question what he was trying
intense.
To do.
This was intense.
There was some
intent.
Doubt in people's mind as to what Vince Wilfork was doing. There is not a single person on earth who can argue he didn't try to trip him. I mean, it's blatant.
I think that's a potential career ender.
Craig could.
If he happened to catch him, like, right on the knee and the knee buckle, that was a really, really bad play.
Cheap shot.
Matt from Quincy, don't get it. Why would you want to have Polian put away in a little room? I love the symbolism of that, by the way. I would think the press people must love it. I want him on the TV screen with a picture-in-picture effect for the whole game.
That's what we need. That's exactly what we needed for
that.
That is entertaining, but
it's embarrassing. You can't put a price on it. I can see it now. I hate those effing Patriots.
Patriots.
Brought to you by Budweiser.
It is entertaining, but I think the Colts would be embarrassed.
It was amazing.
We got to figure out a way to get that recorded.
We talked about it during the game, just slipping a recorder.
We did
there.
Talk about it.
It was
too
loud.
I can't believe how many people have asked us about that. You know, why didn't we do that?
Well, I would feel like slime, first of all.
I would have done it, but it's too loud. We wouldn't have gotten anything. All you would have heard was that pumped-in crowd noise.
So that answers the question about Tank Johnson, by the way. He's eligible. He's activated now. So
yeah.
The 8-game suspension, does it matter that he wasn't on a roster for like 3 of them? That's, I'll tell you, this Goodell, he's running roughshod over the league.
Does whatever he wants. Makes it up as he goes along.
That's wrong.
Paul from Connecticut, another smart individual, says, it looked apparent to me that the refs came into the game with the predisposition to call close plays against the Pats on Sunday. The gay pass interference, the non-call on Falk, and the offensive pass interference call on Moss all seem more than a coincidence. I think the league told the refs to call the game tough against the Pats because, A, the league would prefer a rivalry versus one dominant team, and B, because Belichick hasn't been a good soldier and has been thumbing his nose at the league since the Jet fiasco.
If that's the case, then we have a far bigger issue than Spygate, a far bigger scandal. Because if the NFL is fixing their own games, I don't want to watch NFL games anymore.
Right.
I really don't. Because you got to be kidding me. If you're a fan and you honestly believe what you just wrote, stop watching games.
Right.
Because this has become professional wrestling.
Without all the boobs.
And the good stuff.
Right.
Let's see.
Has the steroids, though.
You guys have been with this team for a while. Has there ever been a game, and I know the fans would never admit this, and Fred, but has there ever been a game where maybe the Patriots got all the breaks? Because I know not in New England. I know not in New England. Everybody thinks that the Patriots get every break in the world.
2001 to 2004, inclusive.
Certainly 2001.
That's one of the reasons why they're hated.
Entire season.
One of the reasons I hated San Francisco was because they got every break. One of the reasons everyone in the country hates you
good
guys
teams make the breaks.
Is because
you know
they
what,
get
Fred,
all the breaks.
You're absolutely right, Fred. And Tom, I'll take you. You hated San Francisco. Earlier than that, I used to hate Pittsburgh. I hated Dallas. It always seemed those teams that were winning every week, at the end of the game, they got every break. You know, someone would – some key penalty or, you know, you get a third down stop and they would throw a late flag. It always happened. That's why people are looking at it right now with the way the Patriots do. They feel like these breaks, you know, that go for the Patriots, it's just the way it goes. I think Felger wrote it right today talking about the pass interference stuff. Was the Hobbs one a bad call? I think it was a ridiculously bad call. But it's no different than what you see every other week.
No. I
mean, there are bad pass interference calls every single game.
The Colts got breaks, and so do the Patriots. When Reggie Wayne dropped that ball, that was a break.
But that's not a break from the official.
No.
I'm saying there are breaks that happen and with calls, like we talked about with that holding call in the Colts. That changed the whole complexion of that drive. I think it was the in-between drive, in between the two touchdowns for the Patriots. They would have been around midfield and poised to go in and score.
I think those refs were terrible.
A lot of people, you know, I think they honestly believe this, think that the refs in the league wanted the Patriots to win the year 9/11, and that's the reason they won the Super Bowl. I never hear any New England fans talking about that conspiracy theory.
Andy does, but he's not.
But
really
do you
a
really
fan.
Think that that's? Do you think that's really a possibility, Fred?
No.
So, like, why would you think it's any more of a possibility that they wanted the Colts to win yesterday?
I don't.
Fred doesn't. He's just enjoying the way the officials called the game.
No, I just think the refs were bad.
But he enjoyed every bad call.
Okay.
I don't think the league had anything to do with it.
Fred's taking the correct approach in my mind. You admit they sucked. Enjoy the fact that they suck in your favor.
I do know for a fact, though, that a very, very high-level official before our last Super Bowl told somebody for the Patriots that, yeah, he has to admit he was hoping that the Patriots lost. It's better for the league.
Yeah, but they're human beings.
But I'm not saying that he did anything about it.
When was that?
It's either before the last before the last Super Bowl.
He was hoping they lost in the AFC Championship. Oh,
no,
hoping they lost the game.
Before the kickoff.
I'll give you another call that I thought was, and I thought the referees struggled in the game, but I thought one call that was not an easy one in my mind that they nailed was the pass to Stallworth down the stretch. I don't think that's a routine call. And they immediately, the two guys got together, jumped right on it.
Right.
The back guy called it a complete pass. The other guy came over and gave the catch sign and then the push out of bounds that he would have come down. That's very important because I don't think they can review that.
No, it's not reviewable.
And determine
whether or
not.
The call on the field was key. Yes.
Right. I don't think they can review it, period.
Right. That's why I'm saying if they had called it the other way, it wouldn't have been able to be
so they
overturned.
They needed that to be called a completed pass because you can't go to review and say whether or not you felt that he would have been down in bounds. That was a big call, and I think they got it right.
Let's see. On the phone right now, we have Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, guys?
What's up, Anthony?
Oh, nothing much. I'm not listening live. I was just wondering a quick question. Were you guys absolutely tired at the end of the game like I was?
Not like the AFC Championship game. The AFC Championship game, I felt tired at the end of the game. There were so many ups and downs and emotional twists. This one just, you know, was one of those games that came down to the wire and, you know, it finished the way it finished. No, I didn't feel like that.
Really?
Maybe they didn't pump the heat in this time. It wasn't as hot.
I'll tell you one thing. I felt a headache coming on, like midway through the fourth quarter. But by the time the end of the game was over, the headache had gone away.
You didn't look good there for a while, Fred. I was looking at you.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you guys went through that because I listened to Colin Cowherd a lot, and he said the same exact thing that me and my girlfriend turned and looked at each other at the end of the game, and I'm like, I'm exhausted. You know, just like because of just the ups and downs and just. How emotionally involved I was, and I wasn't even drinking, and I was that, like, just tired of it, you know
well,
what I mean?
I was drinking, and no.
You were drinking? Maybe
no,
that helped I'm you out. Maybe I was just so nervous, I couldn't even open a beer. I was just watching it the whole time.
Yeah, no.
That's how it was for me. That's how stressed I was.
That's great.
You know?
It was a great game.
But I kind of got you probably on halfway in the officiating you guys were talking about there.
Yeah.
Did you realize, I don't know if you brought this up, but that was actually, I guess, like the head referee was his. It's his first year that he's been a head referee.
That's right. The whole crew was.
That's correct.
Yeah, that was a rookie crew.
That was a rookie crew. I don't understand before the season, you know this is going to be a game that's circled. Why don't you put Ed Hockley there? You know, why don't you put like a
veteran?
Because
the game would still be going on. If Ed Hockley was there, we would still be in Indy.
Well, you know, I have to give a shout-out to Mike Reese of the Globe, because before the game, he was telling me all about these refs, and I'm like, what, Mike, you're really up to these refs, huh? You're really into that.
I was going to say, Charlie Cashley had an in-depth report on the CBS pregame show.
Oh, did he?
About it.
Is that where he got it? Well,
yep.
Anyway.
I'm guessing.
I mean, there was a – it all came true, you know, because the refs were terrible.
Well,
can I defend them for 1 second? On that one pass interference play with Randy Moss, you know, like a lot of people are in uproar, blah, 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 blah. But I think they were kind of looking for it, you know, because the last 2 or 3 weeks he's gotten away with a couple. So
yeah,
maybe
but that doesn't mean anything.
He got away with one in that game in the first half, I thought. It prevented an interception. It was a great play by Moss.
But
it broke up an interception.
I think he makes a good point, because I remember with Irvin, a lot of times he wouldn't get called for the ones he did, and the ones they did call him for were crap. And
yeah,
I think
exactly.
when you're looking for it, sometimes you just call something and you miss a lot of the ones that are actually the push-offs.
Exactly. Overanalyzing, you know, you think you caught it. You're like, oh, I got it. And it's just like, you know, they threw the flag. And it's just, oh, what are they going to do? Put it back in their pocket? Oh, I'm sorry. Nope, my bad. Nope. You know, you can't do that stuff. But I guess that's pretty much it. You guys have a good one.
You too,
okay,
Anthony. Thanks, Anthony.
You know, the other thing we should bring out and bring out to the open, and I know this has no bearing on the game or anything to do with the competition on the field, but the behavior of the Colts as a whole towards the Patriots video people on the field.
Oh, really?
We had three video crews there.
I like that.
And they had no less than five people shadowing. Each video crew had one guy with them. Two of them had two. There were five Colts personnel shadowing our three video crews, to the point where if they were on one side of the field and the play had moved to the other side of the field, you know, downfield, they weren't allowed to move their camera if it crossed the Colts bench to film.
If they
what
had
was
to shoot in the direction that the action was beyond the Colts bench, where they could be taping the Colts bench,
they had to move.
They weren't allowed to do it.
You know, so you can say, well, that's what you get for you know what you did at the Jets. But this has not just happened this year. This happened last year in the AFC Championship with the Colts, and it happens to other teams. It's Bill Polian.
This is warranted.
Well, no, but
to steal a term from like sex
but
offenders,
you know,
they're now registered camera cheaters.
Don't take it out on these poor kids that are out there trying to do
well,
their
that's
job.
The guys that are doing
you know,
it.
And before
and
the
to
game,
be fair, don't take it out on the shadow who's just out there
and
doing
before
his
the,
job.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
before,
wait a minute. Shadowing Bill Belichick doesn't do you any good.
Well,
gotta shadow the
you
camera.
Have to,
that's
you have to shadow the guys that are doing the work but for Bill Belichick.
Before the game, the rules were clearly laid out. Everyone agreed to them. The rules changed like five times during the game.
I heard somebody almost got arrested.
Yeah.
They threatened to arrest him.
Yeah.
I mean, which I think is funny.
That's just ridiculous. That's just Polian being in Polian.
They were going to kick him off the sideline. He wouldn't go.
It's good stuff.
It's just ridiculous.
I just think that it's unfortunate.
You know what?
That the game
it was the Colts' time, but the Colts' time was very short-lived. It's back to the Patriots' time. And that goes out to
look,
you, Bill
look
Polian.
Look at this.
You know, they might
celebrating
play again,
regular
know
season wins.
They
look
might
at
play
the
again.
Well, who would have thought
games
that Fred Kirsch would come to this? Where he's
just
fully
for that win?
Full celebration mode after a regular season win. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, well, I would be in full, I don't know.
He ain't the best.
No, I would be.
He ain't the best.
I would be
in
a full depression
that
if the Patriots had lost. So I might
of,
as well be elated.
I don't know.
I agree. You should be elated as a super fan.
Yeah,
that's.
Hey, I was. You deserve it. That was a great game. That was great. I still go back to your phrase, Freddie. Great theater.
Yeah, was that supposed to be R.E.? Isn't that the snobby way to write it?
It can. You can go either way.
I liked that you went with the
conventional
blue collar way.
Yeah,
E-R.
The American version.
Okay.
Some people would have written theater with the R.E.
Theater.
Yeah.
Tom, you still with us?
I'm here.
We're still talking football, Tom. Come on.
I'm just
theater.
I'm just listening.
He ain't got it today. I'm telling you. I was talking to him on the way down. I said, I haven't heard any venom coming out of your mouth today. What's going on?
This is funny. I'm watching the Sarah Silverman show. They have the peanuts that Andy hates, you know, in the hood. It's pretty.
I bet you that's a heck of a lot funnier than the original Peanuts, which hasn't made me laugh ever. Oh, he took the football.
What's the matter, Tom?
Sarah Silverman has her own show.
Oh, yeah. It's very funny.
No, it's not.
It's very edgy.
I can't imagine that it's funny.
I mean, she's
First
she,
of all,
she's
Fred,
naughty.
You haven't watched it.
I have, too. They had one night on Comedy Channel that was back to back to back. Okay.
Now they're going to fight over.
Now is she
or not
funny
Fred,
or is she just pushed the envelope and people
she,
are like,
"Whoa,
she
pushes, a girl does said push
that.
The envelope." She
yeah.
pushes the envelope a lot, but I don't think women are funny in any way. And I watch the show, and she's one of the least funniest women I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Sorry, that's just what I think.
We're now getting live audio from Charlie Brown in the Hood.
I'm trying to come up with one example of a female comedian that I think is even remotely funny.
Can't do it.
And I can't do it. Can you?
Well, I know the
Wanda. Do you like Wanda Sykes?
Wanda Sykes is funny in some of the things she does. Not really a stand-up, but like in the characters that she plays, she can be funny.
Yeah, I like the Saturday Night Live cheerleader girl. She makes me laugh.
Sherry O'Terry?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, there's a couple out there that are.
But I'm seeing her as part of a skit, not really carrying like a whole.
Right.
I thought early when Ellen first started stand-up, she was pretty funny, but she's not funny anymore.
No, she's too politically correct right now. Yeah.
Jeff Bartlett writes in. He says, congrats.
Not in a gay way, of course.
Congrats to the Pats on
a
great come-from-behind victory. The thing that struck me most was how eerily similar the end of this game was to the last game last January. In both cases, the Pats had the ball with just over 2 minutes of play and a crucial third down. If they converted it, they can run out the clock. Last January, of course, they could not. But Sunday, Welker caught the out and smartly fell down inbounds to
that
run
was a
the
great
clock all
play,
the, way
the way
to the two-minute warning. And that was all she wrote. What a difference a year makes.
Well, also the comparison you could make to when the Patriots had the ball with a chance and they throw the interception. They turn the ball over, tries to hit Kevin Falk in the middle of the field, tips off. I mean, they've gotten so close that you have so many of these similarities game to game. It's just who's making the plays.
Yeah, Fred, let me just – that Welker play, I mean, you and I have argued at length about him. Anybody could make the catch for the first down, but the ability to go down in bounds like that and keep the clock running, because I even said to Andy at the time, I was like, how did that not go out of bounds? But, you watch the replay, and you're like, wow, he did. He got himself down in bounds. So his forward progress had stopped. That's a key play because now you didn't have to run another play. All you had to do was kneel on the ball from that point on. That was a great play.
And then apparently showed his class afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
stay classy,
West Welker. That's the quote-unquote
Patriots. But that stuff happens
that's
all,
the Patriots
all
way.
Game.
I don't like it.
They just caught him saying it. Jeff says, I know this
so
has been
asked.
There's nothing that they could do that Fred would say. I would rather him not do that.
I know this has been asked before, but if the Pats had won last January, do you think they still would have gone on their spree to overhaul the offense?
Yes.
Or would they have continued to think Brady could turn any shoemaker into gold?
No.
No, because Bill would have known that he won without him, but he was somewhat lucky and that he needs to get better at that position.
What you brought up this week, the self-scouting they're going to do this week. They do that after the season, and they know when they're slow as can be.
The Corey Dillon, a couple people emailing about that. That's been ruled out.
Probably Corey Dillon.
That's been ruled out by Bill Belichick yesterday.
And us.
Any of those from C. Dillon in California saying, hey, guys, any chance they want me back?
My favorite one is I started working out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now he's two.
Yeah.
So he's down
Fred.
To 260.
Right. Well, the thing about that, too, is, I find it funny that his agent, Steve Feldman, comes out and says, well, Corey said the one team he's willing to come back and play for is the Patriots. Well, it's awfully magnanimous of him. I'll come back to play for the 9-0 team.
I'll collect a Super Bowl ring.
I'll and come back and play for the 9-0 team that's about to make history.
Fans can think about what they want about Corey Dillon, but my commentary this week is actually how Randy Moss isn't who we thought he was. This guy is amazing. He's a nice guy. He's hanging out with everybody. You can think what you want about Corey Dillon. He's a miserable human being. The Patriots don't want him here, and he's going to stay fat and happy wherever
he is.
That
was the part of it that was underplayed last year, is the Patriots didn't want him back, or they could have had him back.
Well, they released him.
No, that's
so had
saying.
They done nothing, he would have been
back.
But
they make it sound like it
they
was
asked him to leave.
But, Andy, it's being portrayed as like a salary dump. It wasn't.
No,
they didn't want him anymore. That's why they released him.
Because people make the story however they want. Everybody runs with the story that Randy Moss took a pay cut.
Well,
no, he didn't.
Too.
The pay cut would have been to zero when the Raiders
won
cut him.
Year.
Zero to five is not a pay cut.
And explain
the
Randy Moss extension thing.
What do
the
you
whole
want to
no-negotiate contract within a year.
Just in simplest terms, they can do it. I'd have to look
but
at
they can't change this year's cap number.
Right. I'd have to look at the exact – I got the – I sent it to somebody in the organization to give me the exact terminology as to why they can do it, and I don't want to mess. I don't even want to get into the explanation because I'll mess it up. But yes, the cap number can't change for this year.
Right.
It can't, but they can do an extension now if they so choose.
Right.
And, Paul, Andy and I are now on board for the extension because it was something, I can't repeat it because it was on the plane, but something happened where we just said, that's it, that's it.
He's
sign
a patriot.
Him, sign him. We've
3 years, $30 million is what we've targeted.
You know, Fred, I'm pretty stubborn. When I get something in my head, I usually stay with it, come hell or high water. I was wrong. They absolutely.
So
you know,
3 years, $30 million?
Well, but I came to the realization that I was wrong a long time ago about Moss. They should re-sign him.
So 3 years, $30 million. Let's put the money where the mouth is.
I don't know if that's what they want.
I would
what
do it where you definitely have 2 years, and that, you know, you can always do the parting of the ways thing in the third year. Because I think you can get two more really good years out of him.
But the question is, what can he get on the open
market? So what
market?
Does he get up front? Does he get 10 of it up front?
Oh, got to get 10.
If you're not writing him a check for $10 million, I wouldn't sign it if I was him in any way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's really 3 years, $20 million in salary.
If you're a team where your quarterback situation is very unsettled, you don't really have someone there, do you spend that much money on a Randy Moss?
If I'm Tennessee, I can't get Randy Moss in there quick enough.
Yeah, I would do that.
Tennessee, I think they're settled, though, at their quarterback position.
But there are a lot of teams that are, you know, they may not have great quarterbacks, but there are a lot of teams that are settled.
For a team that isn't settled. And there are a few of those, too. Would you go get Randy Moss and pay that big money?
No.
Let's see. Shane in Miami says, tell Andy he was right. Wes Welker is a nice little player.
Thank you.
I think he's being sarcastic.
But I think the argument for that was Sunday's game, when he made a lot of the little plays that were huge.
Nice little play.
Like the play we just talked about, like the punt return.
Although
I do have
to say, he's a better punt returner than I thought. But he finds the seam and gets 20 yards.
Two very good punt returns in that game.
Although, he did it against one of the worst special teams coverage.
Right, I just didn't think he was very good at all.
Yeah.
Look, we thought he was a better punt returner than a kick returner, we thought. And so far he hasn't had that many opportunities to return kicks. But the punt returns have been, you know, sporadic. But when he's had them, they've been impressive.
And we were just talking about re-signing Moss. He's first in the re-sign Moss fan club.
Oh, yeah. He has to be.
And someone on the bus, and I really had to bite my tongue when this was going on, called Sanders, Bob Sanders, a good little player, and said he was overrated.
Come on.
See, you find the ridiculousness.
That's ridiculous.
Of that.
Bob Sanders is a machine. Every play you watch over, he's around the ball somewhere.
If he was playing in Boston, he'd have a chain of restaurants by now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What?
I'll keep it off the air.
What?
Michael
Bob Giordano might have those chain of restaurants.
I said it on the air yesterday on Felder.
Michael in Montreal says, I'm sure many will write in and complain about the rest, but one good thing to note is that now it's unlikely that crew will see any postseason work. As for the game itself, I found the Patriots' play calling early was weak. Colts had the running back screens and draws figured out. Do you believe it took the Patriots too long to go to the inside and outside slants that work so well against the cover two? And what, if anything, do you think the Colts did to limit Watson? I assume it was because Tom had considerably less time to look for secondary receivers. Your thoughts?
Well, Dungy said at his press conference that they played dime 90% of the time. So I think Bill was looking to take advantage of that with the running game. The Watson thing, I thought he would have a much bigger impact. Maybe he's still hurt.
I was going to say, I think he might fall into the Adalys Thomas.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's fully healthy.
Can we talk about the offense a little bit and their approach to just build on that? Because that's been a common theme. People think that they didn't go to the spread. A no huddle, up tempo,
fast. A good
fast
fight with
enough.
A certain radio host about
okay,
it.
Okay, did you guys? I'm glad that you took him to task for it. First of all, let me say, Brady would have gotten killed if they used that approach that much more early in the game because they just absolutely had no answers for Freeney and Mathis. None. Okay?
And don't get the facts in the way that they actually ran down the field and scored a touchdown by running the ball on the second drive. The first drive was somewhat rendered irrelevant when you took a 10-yard sack on the first play.
Oh, and by the way,
you're passing.
Sack.
Right.
You passed on the first play.
Oh, I had this whole argument with one Michael Felger yesterday. Don't worry.
So that means that out of the first three plays, they went 3-and-out in the first series. The first three plays, how many were passes, Fred? Two, for those of you keeping track at home.
Right.
Now, you happen to get sacked for a minus 10. Now, the next drive, you mix in the run and pass, and you go right down the field and score a touchdown.
And he's running 4 yards, 8 yards, 7 yards, having success.
They did not really stop the running game at all. You know,
well,
the
second half.
With the exception of the third down and one play that Sanders comes in and made a nice little play and stopped Maroney in the backfield.
Heath Evans showed that he's not a fullback.
In the second half, I think they decided that they needed to have Falk in there more than Maroney because for the pass protection. You know,
that might have been part of it.
Thank you for making a point for me that I was trying to make yesterday and people were making fun of me.
I'm a little disappointed in Lawrence Maroney, and I'll give you my reasons why. He's a first-round running back, right? All he did in Minnesota was make big plays all over the place. Big play, big play, big play. We haven't seen that. He's not a very good blocker. He can't catch the football. So when you're talking about Joseph Addai and him, people were talking about their stats from the game, how they were similar, blah, blah, blah. But Addai does everything.
Similar.
He comes out and he catches the ball. He blocks. He runs. I think Maroney's, I'm not saying he's a bust, and I think he's having a pretty good year, but where's the big plays we were promised when he was drafted?
Well, that's the problem, because he was drafted as a big play guy. At least Addai was drafted. He can do a lot of things well.
Okay.
He can block.
Get him in space.
And I hear where you're coming from. In his defense, I'll say it's tough to have those big plays when you're only getting 10, 12 carries a game.
I know.
But then the thing is, why is he only getting 10, 12 carries a game?
I would say the opposite, though. I think the opportunities for him to make big plays with those 10 or 12 carries are far greater than traditional running backs, because the other team is almost never playing running.
And you mean like when Marion Barber only gets 10 or 12 carries a game, yet he finds a way to make big plays? He was supposed to be the lesser of the two running backs on that team. But here's my problem. You pay Sammy Morris peanuts to come in here and be a backup. When he's the better running back, when you're the first-round draft pick, I think you should be a little disappointed in his overall performance.
Yeah, I'm starting to get disappointed myself.
And I'm not saying
he's
terrible.
I'm not giving up on him.
They're still going to win the Super Bowl with or without him.
I didn't think that he was that bad Sunday, and a lot of other people do.
I think he looked good. He just didn't play a lot.
In the first half,
I thought he ran really well. I thought, and Tom said it on one time, he goes, now all of a sudden we thought Addai was the jump cut guy, and now we see Maroney with those, you know, the two-legged jump cuts in the hole. He danced a little bit in the second half. But
you know what's weird about him? When he gets into the open field, he's phenomenal, Maroney. He can run by you. He can run over you. It's before he gets, like, he does that little juking stuff. If he would just go straight into the open field, I think you'd get those big plays. But he's just a little bit hesitant at the line for some reason, and I'm not sure why.
The original point, I think it's easy to sit there and say, well, they went no huddle those last two drives and went down the field and scored with ease. I just think if you opted to do that for four quarters, I think you would have gotten Brady killed in
game. Not only that, but you'd be turning the ball over too quickly, probably, if it doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, you look
at...
You might have been
turning the ball over when Robert Mathis ran through Tom Brady.
And there were a lot of, you know, there were two picks that he threw, and there were a couple of others that were very dangerous throws. I mean, there was a couple of balls that he threw on, you know, they're talking about these slants, okay?
Well, there was one to Welker that was very dangerous.
How many of the quick slants over the middle to Moss were off target and almost intercepted?
Yeah.
You know, the one-handed catch was a bad throw.
It might have saved an interception.
And by the way, if Moss doesn't do that, I think Moss should have put both hands up, but I think he thought he was going to get killed, and that's kind of why he went for one hand. He had a couple others that I didn't think he made great efforts on, a little low, and he looked like he was going to get the boom lowered on him. Those were near picks. He had one that went off his hands and hit Bethea right in the chest on the drive that ended up making it 20-17. So I think if you wanted to go with that, like Andy said, I think that would have been inviting turnovers.
Jim in the UK says, what a game. I was screaming at our D for not being able to stop the Colts. The shouting at how great they was. Boy. I hope the AFC Championship game is just as good. Anyway, I wanted to ask you if you guys heard what Terry Bradshaw said on last night's Monday Night Football. He said when talking about Ben Roethlisberger that he is as good as that guy up in New England, except that he is better throwing out of the pocket and is more mobile.
He did not say he's as good.
Is this guy crazy? No way is Big Ben as good as Tom. He is a good quarterback, but to say he's better than Tom, that's just stupid.
I knew it was coming, so I have the exact phrase for you. He said he reminds me of that guy up in New England, except he can move out of the pocket a little better, meaning the way he manages a game, the
makes
way he can make plays.
He
was just saying he reminds him of Tom Brady. He did not say he was better than Tom Brady. He did not say he was as good as Tom Brady. He said he reminds him of Tom Brady. And I think in a way that's a good analogy, because Roethlisberger's not as Brady was in his career, early in his career. He's not a flashy guy. He doesn't put up these – I mean, he is this year, but usually he gets the job done. You know, so one way or another, he gets the job done like Brady.
Jim in Canada wants to know what the deal is with Troy Brown.
He's going to begin practicing, except when he begins practicing, the other 53 players are home on vacation. Which, right? Because, I mean, the first week of his practicing, quote-unquote – the team's off.
Well, because he had to, they had to do it.
No, I know, but I just think it's funny.
Wow. Let's see. Tony Padovano is really mad at you.
Okay.
Says Casale,
this is radio. You need to tell people who you're looking at when you say
it. I think all three of us thought it was us.
Casale,
well, as soon as he was Italian and not Irish, I knew I was off the hook.
Casale, you're a mental midget. You still want to shout from your soapbox that Harrison can't stop Clark? Harrison had Clark covered tighter than a small condom on John Holmes. As for the rest of you beaches, love the show, even Casale, when he's not acting as stupid as his accent makes him sound. Wow.
I'm sorry. Did you guys were at the game where Jason Witten beat him like a little bitch, right?
Yeah.
You were there?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
That's what I was basing it on. I didn't make this up. Rodney Harrison played phenomenal. Did anyone ever hear me say differently? I'm shocked. I can't believe he played that well against Dallas Clark, but he totally shut him down.
He was outstanding.
Well, I was basing this on what I saw in Dallas, and I thought to myself, if Witten can do that, I think Clark can do that, and he didn't. Harrison played a great game.
The one thing I'll say is it really looked to me that Bill said, Rodney, see him? Wherever he goes, you go. And I think that's why early on they're running plays, and Rodney's 10 yards down. It was just – stick with him. I don't care what else happens. You know, Bill likes to give the team like three keys. Rodney, your key is stick with Dallas Clark. No matter what happens, 10-yard runs, we'll win. And I think that makes it a little easier than just playing normal safety,
Bill says
playing
that all the
defense.
Time.
So that's the only thing, because it was his best game, and I think he's had some questionable games this year since he returned from the suspension. So I still am not ready to go in either direction that Rodney's back and he's a playmaker or Rodney's washed up and he's done. He showed... when you give him a job, he can do it against a good team.
He was outstanding in his assignment. Bill says that all the time, what Andy just said. A lot of times that's what the defensive back wants the most. Just say, I have that guy, right, and that's all I have to worry about. I do think that part of the success was aided, part of his success was aided by, I thought the Patriots' ability to not so much get a lot of sacks, but I thought they were around Manning for four quarters. Mm-hmm. I thought they had a reasonable amount of pressure on Manning all day, and I think a lot of the completions to Clark over the games are kind of late. If you watch the way they go to him, it seems like they're late breaking plays, and I don't think they had a lot of opportunities for that, because I think that's what led to a lot of the checkdowns to Adai in the first half, is Manning had to get rid of the ball.
Yep. And it's also a little easier to cover Clark when Harrison's not on the field too.
Right. But the only thing I will say is his interception, he was running stride for stride with Reggie Wayne, and he made the break on the ball before Reggie Wayne did. He knew the route.
He played a fantastic game.
He was running with him. I don't know why he was manned up with Reggie Wayne, and I don't think it was I would have done the same thing Rodney Harrison did. If I saw Reggie Wayne matched up one-on-one with Rodney Harrison, I would have thrown to Reggie Wayne. It didn't work out for him.
Steve in Montana, I don't know if you guys already covered this or not, because for some reason your website doesn't give access to the live broadcast until several minutes past the hour. Wow. But what do you
think? That's due to the latency of the internet.
What do you think Brady was yelling at the ref for just before the final taking of the knee?
Apparently he said on the radio that they were simulating a snap count.
Oh, the Colts
were? I didn't hear it with my own ears. I read that somewhere that he said on his EEI appearance that they were simulating a snap count.
Cheaters.
I was really hoping, and I watched the replay, that he wasn't yelling at them for playing the snap after the whole Mike Vrabel incident against the Browns. I thought at first that was my first reaction.
He was yelling at a ref, though.
No, I know, but I thought he was yelling at the ref because the Colts were playing the snap instead of just giving up, and I was going to be really upset with Brady for being a fraud, but apparently the Colts were simulating a snap count or somebody
they
was yelling.
They should have thrown a flag for that. Absolutely should have thrown a flag.
Len LaPadula. They were doing it. Says, did our first-round pick Brandon Merriweather play on Sunday with Eugene Wilson out?
Special
it seems
teams.
He should make the lineup when six defensive backs are rotated in five positions for the game. If he played, how did he look? And how did Randall Gay look?
He didn't play on defense, Merriweather. He just played special teams.
That's disappointing to me.
Rashad Baker has taken his any role that he had on defense, Rashad Baker has taken.
So in this week, when we get emails that say, what roster spot can Troy Brown take? I will not say Rashad Baker.
Thank you.
I'll say Ray Ventrone.
No, come on. First guy to fist pump Bill, baby, after the win.
Thank you for letting me be a part of this game.
Question about that NFL Network game. Artie from Keene, New Hampshire, says all the Patriot games were able to be seen on Channel 4 here on local cable in southern New Hampshire. So
that's
if Artie's
CBS
right,
4?
There's your answer.
Wait, isn't that CBS, though?
Channel
4?
Channel 4. Because we were thinking CVB, which is Channel 5.
No, but they're on CBS because they're on CBS.
Right. No, I'm talking about the NFL Network game, last game.
Yeah, I don't think
year.
That's what he's talking
I don't
about.
Think that's what he's talking about. I think he's telling us that every week he goes to Channel 4 and watches the Patriots.
Uh-huh. That's what it sounds like.
He's going to have trouble next week because they're on NBC.
Well, this week he's going to go there and say, where the hell's the Patriots game?
I've been fiddling around with this thing for half an hour.
Parcells was here.
Dave from the Philippines writes in, last week I sent you a scenario where the game would live up to all the hype. Well, the game's been played now, and although it didn't quite match up to the scenario I outlined then, it was certainly close enough to suit me. Honestly, I hope we don't see the Colts again in the AFC Championship game because my diabetes makes me a good candidate for a heart attack, and I'm not sure I'd live through another game like that. No doubt the Colts gave us everything we could handle. Another one of your posse here.
Yeah. Wow. See,
that's Dave, right?
That's
Dave and the Peens. Yeah, we knew about him.
About the only thing I could complain about is the officiating. It wasn't totally awful. Most of the Pats penalties were deserved, but that second long pass interference call looked completely wrong to me.
Yeah, I agree.
There were also a couple of non-calls against Indy that could have really been important. I just don't understand why the NFL, in what was perhaps the biggest regular season game in decades, assigned a rookie ref. In the end, fortunately, it was the players that decided the outcome, which is what you want to see as a fan. I had told you last week that I thought the key to the game would be the offensive line's ability to protect Brady, so that sack on the first offensive play of the game had me worried. The off protection wasn't great, but it got better as the game went along, and they did enough to win. So
I would agree. The protection, like the defense, like so many other positions, they did enough to win.
Much like a cookie.
They made the plays they had to. While struggling at times.
Dave is now on the 16-0 bandwagon.
I also agree that
thanks for joining us.
From the Patriots' perspective, I'm kind of hoping someone knocks Indy off. That's not the team I want to see.
Oh, in terms of wanting to actually win the games and go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
I certainly, you're not hoping you see the Colts again. Because I think they got confidence out of that game.
Yes.
Because if Marvin Harrison and Tony Hugo and those guys are playing,
around.
They say, you know what?
That's
we
what
were
they
this
rally
close
around.
Before. We can kick their ass if we do it again.
And even without all that, they can sit there and say, hey, with this high-powered offense, we know we can play against it. We don't have any doubt. You go in with confidence any game that you play. You're a professional athlete. But they don't have any doubt now because
right.
They did it for 60 minutes. They played with the Patriots offense. So, look, they could come here to Foxborough and lose 50-0. I'm not saying that wouldn't happen. But they know, Indy knows it can come here and play with the Patriots. I would rather play someone that has some lingering doubts in the back of their mind.
Steve in Montana wants to know if Don Shula's been sniffing his own Depends. He also says, after hearing so many experts say that the Colts just didn't come through, I can't help but wonder why it's so hard for them to give the Patriots defense the credit they deserve. Bottom line, which defense stood up when it was crucial in the second half of the fourth quarter, and which offense put points on the board when the game was on the line?
Yeah.
Answer to both of those would be the Patriots.
Well, what was the answer to those questions in the AFC Championship?
Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
That's what I thought.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Kronkhorst! Are you kidding me?
For the sixth straight season, your New England Revolution has advanced to the Eastern Conference Championship game.
That is unbelievable.
Thursday, November 8th at 7:30 p.m., Gillette Stadium will be rocking when the Revs take the field versus the Chicago Fire. With a win, they're in and will advance to MLS Cup 2007. Call 1-877-GET-REVS for tickets to this pivotal match. With the U.S. Open Cup Championship under their belts, the Revs are shooting for the MLS Cup trophy and another championship for New England. Tickets start at just $18 and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group and cheer on the Revs to the championship. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your Eastern Conference Championship ticks and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar. And the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar. In the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
In progress. There's a lot of construction going on here. There's jackhammers going up, debris falling down.
Yeah, they're doing a photo shoot.
They're fixing the cock joint.
All right. Anthony in North Carolina says, I don't get that thought of putting an asterisk beside the Pats season if they go undefeated, since they were caught in week one and wouldn't be cheating anymore at this point.
Right, it's the three Super Bowls that should have asterisks.
I can't imagine anyone is still thinking they could still be doing something under the radar of that magnitude.
Okay, now, I don't think there should be an asterisk or anything, but if they were cheating in week one, why would you assume that they're not doing anything now?
Right.
I'm just curious. Like, why? What kind of thinking would that be? Well, now they're not doing anything.
And to
how
follow
do you know?
Up on that, and I agree again with Tom's, I don't think there should be an asterisk, and I think it's all blown out way out of proportion. But, again, under the assumption that they were cheating at one point, they did so for how many years? 6 years? Belichick said that when they did it, Fred,
yeah.
Help me out here. He said it was what we've done every game, right? And they've always maintained that we don't use any of that information in the actual game. They use it for the future. So how then do they have 6+ years of material that they've gathered?
I'm not here to talk about the past.
How are we under why are we under the assumption that none of that is being used now, right?
That's
so
correct.
If you're one of these people that thinks they got an advantage by cheating, their record now doesn't dispel the notion that they've gotten any benefit from cheating. Right?
And
I think it's all stupid and overblown, but...
Well, and we really don't know what they were using and what they were, you
exactly.
know...
Exactly.
Nobody knows what's going on except for a few people, and we'll probably never know.
And there's only one guy that has to live with himself.
But I also agree with Tom's premise that if they were cheating all along, what's to assume they just stopped and didn't find a new
absolutely.
Way to cheat? It's like, why do you assume because you said, give us all the tapes, that they gave you all the tapes? They're proven cheaters already, so their word is suddenly
they're
worth something?
They're not cheaters. Matt from Waseca, the officiating in this game was questionable. I have no idea who these guys were, but where the hell was Ed Hockley? There were definitely penalties that we deserve, but I really don't see a problem with the two pass interference penalties and the blocking out of bounds. Maybe that's the rule for blocking out of bounds, but it's not like he threw him to the ground. He prevented him from possibly making a play in the field. That's the way it should be. But that's the rule.
That's
now
the way it should be.
Now we disregard rules.
How do you feel about the Tuck rule?
It's a good one.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
That's a keeper.
Until
it goes the other way.
That Tuck rule sucks.
Neil from Winnipeg, it was good to watch a game that was tight until the end. We haven't had that this year. Blowouts are easier on the nerves, but tight games are always fun. It was also good to see that the Pats can win by pulling off those clutch plays at the end, especially with all these new guys not having experienced a tight game so far this season. The bomb to Moss was awesome, as was Welker's nice little clutch TD. I'm sure it won't
good
go
point.
Down as the greatest regular season game ever, as many hyped it to be, but a win is a win, and 9-0 is going into the bye is fantastic.
That's a good point, because Bill had talked about last week the Gostkowski kicked out of bounds.
It's unbelievable.
And he said we hadn't been in a game yet. Well, now you've been in a game, and you've had guys step up. You had Randy Moss make the plays that he was making in blowouts in a tight game. You had Wes Welker make some plays that he's making in blowouts in a tight game. Kevin Faulk, I guess, would fall under. We've seen him do that before. But
it's unbelievable how many times this year that Bill has talked about something specifically, and it's not it's like something you can game plan.
Right.
It's not like something that was like a point of emphasis.
And this is why the players trust him, too.
But all of a sudden, it comes out,
right.
and they had to do it. He said we hadn't really had a score all year. We hadn't had to stop anybody from scoring all year. You know, even the kickoffs, there were you notice there were no out-of-bounds kickoffs,
right.
but he didn't drill them all in the end zone.
Right.
So clearly they wanted to do some of that directional kicking that he was struggling with a little bit, and he didn't struggle at all with it on Sunday.
And the tackling thing, I said this yesterday. I'm off the whole excuse they couldn't tackle because it was 42-7 and they were just sort of let their guard down. They were in a dogfight at the end of the first half, and they couldn't tackle either. So tackling's an issue.
Tackling's a bit of an issue.
Scott in New Hampshire, the Dante Stallworth call at the end of the game is proof that there is no conspiracy against the Patriots. Not that I think there is one. If there was a conspiracy, that was the perfect play to call against the Patriots. It's a judgment call that cannot be challenged.
Well said.
I just think the officials made some bad calls.
Who's this?
I do, too.
Scott in New Hampshire.
Well said. Good email.
I think you're a good fan. I think there was some bad calls, definitely.
Get the Andy Hart stamp of approval.
But that was I thought that was a great call.
Go ahead, keep rooting.
And I don't think that was one of those that was academic. We were all sitting there, what are they going to call here?
Right.
Brian in Jamestown, if the last fumble by Manning at the end of the game didn't land squarely in Rosie's hands, do you think that would have been called a fumble or an incomplete pass?
Fumble.
It seems like they would have called it an incomplete shovel pass if it had hit the ground.
Nope.
Oh, I don't think that was
They called it a fumble.
By the way, if it was ruled an interception, Manning's passer rating would have dropped from 83.1 to 67.2.
This is unbelievable. This is absolutely unbelievable.
He set you right up.
They called it a fumble.
No, but if he's saying that they probably didn't call it an
interception. No, what he's saying is they would have screwed him out of the possession if the ball hit the ground. They would have called it incomplete.
I thought he was saying that.
That's what he's saying.
I thought what he's saying is they call it a fumble because they don't want to screw up Manning's passer rating.
Right. Because that's what the referees are thinking about on the spur of the moment.
We all have to protect Peyton Manning.
Right.
I got an email here from PJ, our good friend.
Hey,
and,
this
PJ. Was sent to me, apparently. FCC violation for Andy. Hey, guys, I read something on ProFootballTalk.com's blog on the Pats game that cracked me up. And since I'm Mr. Immaturity, he knew it would crack me up, too. Florio asked if Jim Nantz should get in trouble with the FCC for saying, quote, Manning looking for Moorhead. And he said, P.S., Tom, the boys are very impressive, and the Eagles are god-awful. Had to get that off my chest. Congrats on the win.
The Eagles, tough situation. That was one of those games where I thought, boy, they're really going to rally, you know, for
they're
Andy Reid.
Step up.
One last gasp before their season totally goes in the toilet the next week probably, but nothing. It was absolutely nothing.
Their team's going to rally. Their team's going to step up.
Christine says, I drove out to the game from New Jersey on Saturday, me being a Pats fan and my husband being a Colts fan, so we knew that for one, it was going to be a long ride home. Anyway, it was a really long three quarters for me as a Pats fan, taking the abuse of Colts fans all around in the section. I remained stone-faced, holding my tongue until the clock ran down to the last 2 minutes. And with that, I had to say to the guy that was trying to rattle me, sorry, you couldn't break me, better luck next time. I'd never been in the dome before, and piped in or not, it was unbelievably loud. It gave me great pleasure to see how strong our Pats were to come back and win that game. At no point in the game did I feel that they had control, even when they had the lead. The Colts defense was incredibly fast. Fortunately for us, Manning didn't seem very aggressive for the majority of the game. The Hobbs PI call was total BS. Still bums me up that they put a first-year crew in there with a game of this magnitude. Okay. So.
All I said about that is I hope it's random. I would have an issue the other way, personally, that if they looked at what they thought were going to be good games and put their best crews and then let the crap crews do the other games, I think that would be an unfair advantage to teams that are decent, they suddenly get games that are going to be officiated better than the rest. I mean, you have to make that random. When you get to the postseason, I can see promoting your best.
It's on merit.
Right,
yeah.
And that's fine. But during the regular season, you have X number of crews, 16 crews or whatever it is for all the games. It should be random where they end up each week.
Artie says, welcome on board, Tom. Lawrence Maroney is not a big play running back. I believe he is a bust as a first-round pick. He is more of a late second, maybe early third-round pick. And, oh, my God, I watched the Vikings game, and that Peterson kid is absolutely phenomenal. Just amazing. Hats off to him. Talk about a talented runner.
I forget who it was that I was going back and forth with. That. Once again, I already did my mea culpa on this about a month ago, but I'll do it again. I think if it was PJ or TG or one of those guys, Adrian Peterson, just absolutely unbelievable.
That's big of you, Paul, now, to come out and admit that when he hasn't
done anything, really. This is the second time that I'm doing this. It was the whole Reggie Bush thing, if you remember.
It was his first 200-yard game when you first said it.
And tomorrow, Paul Perillo admits the Patriots pretty good.
Or I could do what everybody else does and just, you know, stubbornly stand behind my opinion and be wrong.
Oh, right. You're the only
I could do
it.
That.
That's true.
But, you know, just, I don't know, forget it. I forget what I was even going to say.
You sound like me now.
Yeah, I do. I feel like you.
I wouldn't call Maroney a bust yet. It just, here's the problem I have with him. He's always had somebody. I have Marion Barber, I have Gary Russell, I have Corey Dillon, I have Sammy Morris. At some point, this guy's just got to break free and he's got talent. I mean, we see it. You know, you guys were all with me. Remember the preseason last year when he was a rookie and he showed that remember when he first started carrying the ball and he showed that explosion, like he'd get through the hole and like that's what he had at Minnesota. And I don't see that anymore. I just remember watching him that preseason and we were just like, well, you know, wow, this guy's going to be something. Remember for the first game, Fred was already calling for Dillon to be benched and we don't need Dillon and all that. I don't see that anymore. Where's that explosion through the line? That's what I'm looking for.
Clinton Omaha says, the last two seasons, the Pats have made huge swings and misses in the draft. Maroney, Jackson, and Merriweather, when they could have had Adai, Santonio Holmes, or David Harris. If they got a top 3 to 5 pick and McFadden is there to be had and they pass, I'll be very disappointed.
Wait a minute. Wasn't Santonio Holmes taken, like, in the top 20?
Yeah, Steelers.
I mean, if you want to say they could have had Joseph Adai instead of Lawrence Maroney, that's fine. But you took Chad Jackson in the second round,
right?
And Santonio Holmes
was the first receiver.
He wasn't even available when you picked the first time when you said you were thinking about Chad Jackson. So that's a little
pretty sure you're right.
Different.
Yeah. I want to say late teens for Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, like 18 or 17. So that's not the same thing.
So,
and who's the other guy?
So what do you think, McFadden?
For the first pick?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think there's any chance they take a running back.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I just
no. I mean, he's still four linebackers.
He could be who's going to pick? He could be the first pick in the draft, depending on how.
Miami going to take a running
back? One thing we should mention here, just to throw out there, the top rated player on virtually everybody's board on draft day will be Glenn Dorsey, defensive tackle for LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is in love with this guy. Vince Wilfork, contract coming up. If Bill thinks this guy's too good to pass.
I would criticize the pick.
But you're in the top five now. So now
I know.
I'm just throwing this out here. I'm not saying that he would. So now you can take the absolute best player. Now, Bill says he always takes the best player. If it's Glenn Dorsey, does he take him?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And I would criticize him if he did because I think it would be a bad pick. You're going to have too many other places where you could shore up. And you have, at minimum, you're going to have two of the three defensive linemen. If at some point
even if they're decided that they don't want us, they're not going to sign Wilfork because they're spending their money elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of criticized them this year that maybe you start to question, did they go too deep on the defensive line as it was? I mean,
I'm just throwing it out there.
How many franchise players do you need at one position?
I just think it would be interesting if they were sitting there at three and Dorsey was there and he's the number one on everybody's board. It's going to be an interesting dilemma. Now, would you take Laurinaitis that high?
No.
So you trade down.
Trade down a couple spots, try to get an extra pick here. Plus, your boy is in love with McFadden, right? So he's going to be trying to trade anyway.
Oh, Jerry Jones, he's going to trade the whole farm to get up for him.
Couple things. Santonio Holmes was taken with the 25th pick. So they could have
after the first.
They could have used him on the first round, and just as a correction there. Now, the other part that I would just say as a slight correction, Bill always says that he would take the best player within reason. He always says, you know, obviously, you said last year flat out, we wouldn't be taking a running back again in the first round. After taking a running back in 2005, he said they wouldn't do it again. Quarterback is an obvious exception. So there are
I was just saying if they had thought in the organization that they probably weren't going to re-sign Wilfork, and you were sitting here and Bill thinks this guy's going to be an absolute beast in the NFL, could it be a possibility?
But I think that if, you know, the other side of your argument, if they do have plans to re-sign him and they think they're going to get it done, I would eliminate Dorsey as a possibility.
Oh, right.
Because even though he says they'll take the best player, he's not going to invest that kind of money in a position like nose tackle that, you know, you don't need two, in other words.
It's like quarterback.
Just some draft stuff.
You don't play two quarterbacks at the same time.
Right, and Bill's always telling us that, which is very nice of him.
Some teams do.
Dave in the Philippines wants to give a shout-out to Chris Hansen. He says he's been having much better games.
Yeah,
he was good.
You have to say he had a pretty good game. Huh?
Yes, much better game than the Shoemaker that was punting on the other side.
And as Bill would say, he improved, but wouldn't have taken much. Chris Hansen sucked earlier in the year.
Let's see. Stripper says, I read the press release from NFL Network that says all games will be simulcast on local broadcast stations in the markets of the teams playing.
Right.
So what does that mean, though? Which
in the market, didn't you say, is 75 miles or something?
Right, yeah. And you have to figure out
who would have
had
that
which
game.
Affiliate it is, number one, and number two, if you're outside of that, you know, if you're in New Hampshire, in other words, or Maine or around New England,
right.
Not everybody gets those affiliates.
But if it's a Giants-Patriots matchup and it's in the Foxborough, then it's a Fox game. So that means locally Channel 25 would have it.
It's in New York.
It's in New York. Oh, then it's the CBS here. Then it's CBS.
Right.
Then Channel 4 will have
it. But I don't know what that – I don't know if that means – it says local affiliates. It doesn't say which one.
See, this is where the rules are too down the middle, like the 75 miles. Let's be honest. It's a Giants-Patriots game in the Northeast where 90% of the population is either a Giants or a Patriots fan.
And everybody –
they're in the market. Whether the little rule says they're in the market or not, everybody up here wants to see that game.
But with those that's what I thought.
What, Fred? Don't
Fred,
point.
You're yelling at a glass and pointing.
It will be.
Gary is being told that the game will be on Channel 5, WCVB.
That's what I was told, and I'm glad that that turned out to be accurate because I think I wrote that in SPFW several weeks ago. But
I just ignored
Monte Bizzell and Wesley Millard.
Yeah.
Wesley Millard.
Scott.
Terrible.
But the fact that he broke that out right there was just great. That was perfect.
That's the coverage you'll get.
Yeah.
Scott it's nice Washington when he stops says, playing solitaire.
Real quick comment about Maroney. Isn't it ironic that Peyton Manning reportedly complained to Brady that the Patriots stole their guy or some such comment
yes.
when the Patriots took Maroney? And here we are worrying about Maroney's performances and praising a guy, the guy the Colts settled for.
Because you could argue that Maroney could run the same as a guy in that offense. But you can't argue that he would be as good a fit in the passing game,
right.
whether it's protection or catching the ball. So they got the better guy for their system.
And the thing, Maroney, he's not there yet, but he's getting to be to the Roy Williams thing. I defended Roy Williams for 3 years, and then I finally had to say, listen, he stinks. I'm sorry. I was fighting tooth and nail with a guy at the gym last year about a guy in Maroney, and I said, you'll see, this guy's going to be a stud. He's going for 1,400 yards next year. And the other thing that kind of concerns me a little bit, you have this wide-open passing attack.
That's my point.
Remember, we've been saying all offseason, this guy's going to have all these holes to run through and everything. So I'm not going to kill him yet, but I got to start seeing something.
You should have known when you were fighting with that guy at the gym, because the guy was Maroney's cousin, and even he was on the guy's side.
I thought we were going to see like a 12 or 1,300 yard season, but I thought he was going to average like 5.3 a carry, because I thought he wasn't going to get that many chances, but he was going to have a ton of big runs. You know,
maybe he'd have a touchdown by
a ton of 30 or 40 yard runs.
Even if Andy and I want to say, well, we couldn't be right about a die because of the system, shouldn't Maroney be benefiting from a system too?
Yes. And at the much like we talked about with the Colts defense, Fred was first on board with giving the respect to the Colts defense. But I also want to say that
he's so proud of himself. First time he's ever been first on anything.
But Joseph Addai is a better player than all three of us thought he was.
Oh, yeah, by a lot.
It's not just the system. It's not just the system. He's a better player than we thought he was.
I had to do it for more than a year for my liking.
Scott also says...
This is two.
I'm going to Buffalo, and I miss what you said earlier about Buffalo being the worst. It's not a great place for a lot of reasons, but what was that comment about? I missed it.
I've gone to the New York, Philadelphia, and Buffalo wearing a Cowboys jersey, and Buffalo was by far and away. Philly wasn't even in the same ballpark. They try to kill you over there. They throw stuff at you. And it makes it not fun. I don't mind getting – Philly, they really ribbed me. You know, they were yelling stuff at – that's all part of the game. I'm not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about throwing beer on you, threatening your life, stuff like that. And it's by far the worst I've been to.
Tom's right. It was – I've been to a lot of different stadiums. I've never been to Philly as a fan, but by far and away, the worst I was ever treated was in Buffalo, and they are vicious. They throw stuff at you. San Diego was pretty bad, believe it or not.
Was it?
Yeah, and you would think, you know, it was laid-back Southern California crowd, but they were all over us.
Okay.
But ironically, the Meadowlands was nothing.
Okay.
And I was at
the Meadowlands.
Okay.
I was at a couple of games against the Jets that the Patriots lost, and you would think that the fans would be, you know, even worse, but it wasn't. It was fine.
Matt said the weird non-heads-up play by the Colts defender on the Welker play was that he touched Welker before he went out of bounds. Welker was moving forward, so his progress was not stopped, and he did ultimately touch the sideline, so the clock would have been stopped if the defender did not touch him. It did not get mentioned, but I thought it was big. That was on the other side of the field.
I disagree with that assessment. I think that Welker made a fantastic play to stay in bounds and stop himself before he went out of bounds.
And also, Tony Padovano says, Tom, that yelling at you is like yelling at a one-year-old for pooing his pants.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what that means.
I
the
just
kid
said
can't help it. Tom's an idiot. He can't help it.
Rodney Harrison had a good game. What do you want me to do? Seriously.
That's the part I didn't mean. I didn't know what it meant.
And I don't believe that I was the only one who thought he struggled against Jason Witten. John Tomasi wrote an entire article about it.
I was with you. I didn't think that he would be able to cover Dallas Clark the way he did on Sunday. And, you know, we were wrong.
The guy had, with Rodney covering him, no catches for any yards. Because that 17-yard out was in zone coverage where Gay passed him off. He was in front of Hobbs. And Rodney was trying to come over from his middle zone.
And even then, he was there.
Right.
That was great coverage. That was just a great throw.
He wasn't covering him man-to-man.
Right, right.
So that's one catch minus 2 yards when Rodney was basically covering him.
Let's see. Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa, says, hey, Paul, Tom, Fred, and Fred Jr. Who's Fred Jr.?
Paul, Tom, Fred. I don't like the sounds of that.
Before we watch the game... Before we watched the game on TV, my wife and I wrote down some notes from our fun weekend in Indy. One,
I like notes.
Before the game, we heard about the Pats' easy schedule and the Colts' hard schedule. They won the Super Bowl. They can have the hard schedule that comes with it. Two, it was about 30 degrees colder in the dome from last January,
just as loud
and more Pats fans than before. That is true. It was
a lot cooler.
It didn't get as hot as last year.
I didn't think it was as hot as last year, but I didn't. There was no 30 degree difference.
If you haven't seen Moss in person, you owe it to yourself to see him. He is better and more fluid than what you see on TV. Samuel and Hobbs are terrible, especially Hobbs. He was beat every play, whether the ball went his way or not. If that is how Samuel plays every game, let him go. We still can't tackle. Six, the replays on their Tinytron were awful. They only showed a couple plays, and they were the ones that were obvious plays that were not worth watching again. Seven, Maroney looked good, hit the holes well, and didn't dance behind the line a lot. He seems to have problems getting going after he runs to the point, to the line, and then does that jump stop. Eight, Peyton seemed to manage the clock poorly when they had the 3 points and the ball at the end of the game. Nine, Hansen punted well, minus Washington's coverage on the one play. And finally, 10, the Colts' defense was incredible. They were very fast and much better than what we saw in January. But will their small stature cause them to wear down late in the games and in the season? It looked as if they did on Sunday.
That's possible. Yeah, that's a big possibility. I didn't know any clock management screw-ups by the Colts. Did you? Did you figure anything, Fred?
No.
I mean, the Patriots stopped them. Yeah. Had nothing to do with the clock. They had plenty of time to score at the end. Jarvis Green strip sack ended the drive. They didn't run out of time.
Aaron says it's suspicious that the refs kept making BS calls in order to make sure the Pats didn't cover the 5.5-point spread because 90% of the money was on the Patriots to cover the spread.
Tim Donaghy.
Also, I thought the 4-2-5 defense was a good plan to stop the Colts, but Seau should have been playing middle linebacker the whole game because Bruschi was getting killed out there. And as soon as Seau got into the game, the Colts could no longer run the ball and make easy dump-off passes to Adai. And why is there no great uproar about the Colts cheating? Well, they didn't. P.S., can we now officially...
Well said, Fred.
Wow.
P.S., can we now officially upgrade Wes Welker from the nice little player category to the dynamic playmaker category?
No.
Following his great punt returns and clutch catch at the end of the game?
No.
Yes, we can.
No, we can't.
And we should.
And once again, if you think the referees were cheating on purpose, you should stop watching the NFL. Seriously. If that's what you believe, then don't watch because it's a farce and it's WWE wrestling.
We'll close out with Dan in Fairfax. He said, I went to several Pats-Bills games in Buffalo in the mid-90s and never had a problem from the local fans. Maybe things have changed. The other emailer was wrong about Welker needing to be touched. As soon as he went down on his own, intentionally,
yes.
It is considered giving himself up, and the play is dead. No one had to touch him. All right.
Didn't
get to all the emails, but we want to thank everyone for emailing in. And, of course, John Rook will be up next with Patriots Playbook. And maybe he'll get to them if you're nice. We will see you tomorrow, Wednesday. Take it easy.